This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ho, 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 bitches and bitchettes. That's right, I go by the name of Mice Diggy, a.k.a. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake, and especially for this time of year, a.k.a. Black Santa. Guess what we got in the sack for you guys, though? That's right, this show is going to be a Christmas special of the hip-hop show right here on FUBAR Radio. So we got something special. We're going to give you interviews from throughout the year of 2016 alongside some of the open mic specials we had as well. So some talented MCs, talented producers, and artists coming through to chit-chat about whatever they feel like. You know how we do over here. Please make sure you can sit back and enjoy. Grab a mince pie, you know, grab a cracker, pop that open, and keep the prezi for yourself if you have to. Just make sure you enjoy yourself and have a good 2017 as well, mother lovers. We'll see you then. Merry
Christmas. You're listening to the best of Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
You're tuned into FUBAR Radio. It's myself, Sarah Love.
Myself, Mice Diggy, and we are joined by the Godfather. The AKA Godfather.
What's happening, my brother?
Yes, man. Rodney P in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Woo! Yes, sir. You good?
It's yes, so lovely man. To have you here.
Thank you for the invitation, my dear.
Every time. Our house is your home.
Okay, cool.
You know, so we look forward to seeing you some more.
Question. Who named it FUBAR then? Where's the name come from?
Adam,
where's FUBAR come from?
It means fucked up beyond all reckoning.
I knew that, but I mean, who named it?
Our boss.
Okay.
But yeah, Duncan.
Yes, big up Duncan. Duncan down the hall.
You didn't give a fuck, basically. You
know what I mean? Obviously.
Say it with me now. You didn't give a fuck.
But Rodders, it was so lovely to see you.
Yeah, you can't say Rodders, man.
Sorry.
I made that mistake years ago. I was like... I'm only playing.
It was so lovely to see you last week for the screening of the new documentary.
Yeah, it went very well.
It was wonderful. It was just such a good watch. Like, you know.
You enjoyed it, yeah?
Yes.
Good.
And of course, it hasn't aired yet. It's going to be on TV on the 30th.
That's Friday.
Yeah.
So, in case people don't know, we're talking about a documentary called Hip Hop World News by Rodney P.
Acme Film Productions.
So yeah,
guy named Jamie DeCruz, Vanessa, Anthony. They got a good crew there. It's the guy, they did the Leaving Through the Gift Shop film.
Oh, Exit Through the Gift Shop.
The same guy, Jamie, who did that.
Yeah. Oh shit! I wanted to ask about something like that, but
yeah, I mean, we was never trying to make a straight to YouTube kind of film about hip hop coming from the Bronx, and it was Kool Herc and Africa Bambaataa. We was trying to do something else.
It's interesting because at the beginning of the screening, you said as well, this isn't what you think it's going to be.
Yeah,
and so that would made it more intriguing because you're like, okay,
and was I right?
You were right because. Yeah. And the thing is, I was like, why did they call it Hip Hop World News? But then the more I thought about it afterwards, I was like, actually, that's a good idea because it is news from around the world. You've gone traveling to find this out, but it wasn't. We don't want to give away too much because we want everyone to view it.
No spoilers.
It comes on this Friday on
BBC4.
This
Friday, 9 o'clock, BBC4. It's 90 minutes, so it's 9 till 10:30. And as a hip hop fan, I would say it's definitely worth your while. And as someone who doesn't know anything about hip-hop at all, but you're curious, this is definitely worth your while.
Yeah, for sure.
And as someone who hasn't got any hip-hop in your life, it's about time you got some, so it's definitely worth your while.
That's what was lovely. One of the girls who was in the audience, and she was like, I don't know anything about hip-hop, but she was just loving it as well. And I just think it's such an amazing accomplishment. People don't understand how difficult it is to get... things commissioned onto.
Oh, it's a drama, man.
Yeah,
it's
let alone something like as disgusting as hip hop. You know what I mean? To get represented.
I mean, I have to give credit to the BBC. They wanted to do something.
Okay.
Did they?
They just didn't know what. And thankfully, they took our advice. So that's kind of how it came about. So I've got to give them credit. But it's never easy. It's never easy. Trying to get stuff on TV can be hard work.
But also, thankfully, the right people were in the driving seat to put something like this together. Because doesn't that drive you nuts when it's like you see hip-hop things and it's like whoever is behind this is nothing to do with hip-hop. But it's... you're no kind of authority to be speaking on our legacy.
Yeah, that's always been part of the problem. And it's kind of, for me, I think we're in a time where... actually, as the hip hop scene, we need to stop bitching and moaning. We're in a position where the technology is there. We have the stories. We have the talent to do it. So creativity. We should be telling our stories. And if we don't tell our stories and leave it to someone else to do, then we ain't got a leg to stand on, really. Like, now is the time we need to be doing this stuff. I'm also working on another doc at the same time, which I know you're part of already still.
Yes.
Under the Influence, which is a much more UK-based documentary. But again, it's about telling our stories and making sure that we do it with some authority and own it in the end. So,
exactly. so is this the Rodney P, like, are you looking to start doing more documentaries?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think, like what you just said, I think, you know, in terms of like the wrong people doing the documentaries that we've seen before, that can make us feel like, so when you said, oh, this isn't what you think it's going to be, that's exactly it. Is like, I thought, okay, I know Rodney, but I don't know the other people involved, and maybe this is just like
going to
be another like, hey, so cool Herc in 1970,
you know?
Yeah, but then when you watch it, you know, like everybody, if you can and if you can't, then go on iPlayer. It's going to
be on
the
iPlayer
after.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you watch it, it really is an experience through your eyes. It's like,
yeah. So I mean, what it is kind of, it's partly my journey. And me seeing some of the people that I looked up to within the music coming up, some of the artists I grew up listening to. But then it's also looking at what the world looks like through the lens of hip-hop. So that kind of means, like, what is hip-hop's point of view on certain topics? So we look at police brutality, we look at education, we look at religion, you know. We filmed a lot more stuff, but obviously we only had 90 minutes. But we went real deep with it.
Maybe you should use some bonus stuff on, you know, on the social.
We'll definitely be doing that. I put up two days ago a small piece about Sedgwick Avenue, which was Cool Herc's home, where the party where hip-hop was born was supposed to have taken place. So I went there. I put up a small piece recently. I also interviewed a homosexual rapper, an openly gay rapper named Mickey Blanco, who's going to be performing in XOXO, I think, real soon.
American dude.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't make it either, but I might do a little package with that. Real interesting conversation. Real interesting conversation. Trust me. I went to his show. I went to see the show in the middle of Brooklyn, like the grimy Brooklyn that I remember going to back in the 90s. Now I went to see the show with Mickey Blanco. Place was ram. He's on stage. He's got wigs and I ain't even gonna go too deep. Some freaky stuff.
Some clench your butt cheeks.
I forgot. I can swear, innit? It's some freaky shit, you know what I mean? But sounds also fun. Very interesting and very theatrical. You know what I mean?
Was there like, you know, all kind of weird props and shit? Or
he had a few props on stage that. But
Gimpish,
you know,
some outfit.
He weren't in no gimp suit thing, but he was definitely pretty.
Unfortunately, no gimp suit.
He was on some next.
All
right, moving on then.
But there was a lot. We really wanted to, like, we were asking the question: What does hip hop think? How and where does hip hop get its point of view from? You know, where why is it that hip hop fans are so open to the idea of conspiracies? Why would that be?
We
asked those kind of questions. So I think we took a real interesting angle.
How long did it take, like, in terms of the process from the beginning? Like, okay, you obviously had to work on the idea as opposed to just doing what everybody else has done, a hip-hop documentary. Yeah. Like, what was it like?
Once we had the idea, which took a while to flush out, we got to flush it out.
Yeah.
But actually filming, we did America, we did 3.5 weeks in America, kind of back and forth between New York and LA. We went out to Paris and we did a few days here as well. So in total, I'd say maybe 4.5-5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we worked though, we grafted.
And then editing process
And then we had a 10-week edit.
They did an amazing job editing that as well, man.
Yeah, I got to say big up to our man, Dell. Yeah. All the man that we know about, the original, the hip hop shop in the West End where we all used to go. Deal Real.
I
apologize. But yeah, Dell edited it. Dell used to work in Deal Real, edited it. So you know, from the top to the bottom.
Little Dell.
So from the top to the bottom, it's hip hop folks. It's like this is a movie made by hip hop fans. Like, absolutely. So there's definitely a level of love and appreciation shown for the culture in the making of the program.
Because some of that as well, like now you said that, I noticed that how real it was. A lot of the documentary was, you know, even points that you think, oh, why did they put that in? But later on, you're like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I see, yeah, it all makes sense. It was really, it felt like there was a sense of hip-hop realness to it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd like to think there was. Like, it's one of those, I don't want to pat myself on the back or nothing, but I think we did a really good job.
I think you should, bro.
No, I think, like, I can stand up behind it. If everyone says I think it was crap, I can stand up and say, well, I thought it was good.
Because that's the other thing. When I watch hip-hop documentaries or something and you get that sniff that not the right person has made this. And you can tell because the wrong people are being interviewed and it's the wrong music is being featured. Like, you have such a wicked soundtrack on there where it was like, okay, tick, tick,
I've actually got the soundtrack written out. It's like, we're going to put that on an album. Like,
serious, man. It'll I was bubbling to it. It's not very rare that every tune you're like, oh shit, this is on there. Oh, you know, like, it was bubbling in
there's a lot of stuff like, you ain't never seen that like that on the BBC before.
You ain't
never heard certain lyrics that on and the songs that we use on the BBC for BBC before.
And that's why I was asking. I asked at the end, like, when you did the Q&A, like, was there any pressure in terms of having to put, you know, like, this face in there? Oh, everyone knows who this person is.
I mean,
the
only pressure was kind of what we put on ourselves. And there were a few people we would have liked to get that we didn't. Like, would have liked to get Kendrick, and for it just didn't work out. Would have liked to get, you know, would have liked to get Jay-Z. We put in a request to interview Barack Obama, honestly.
Wow.
We weren't ramping. So, like, you know, there's a few we missed, but I do think what we got tells the story we were trying to tell.
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, but the guest interview people that you had featured on the show as well, it's like you can't ramp with that. Because this is also what kind of bugs me sometimes. As you know, hip hop is now something that spans like four decades.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and there's some kids who last night at the Raekwon Ghostface show, they were like, when we put our first album out, some of you in the audience weren't even alive, you know? And this is the reality.
That's the truth. I got lyrics that are older than half of the audience. And that's a fact. Like,
And so it's you can't blame some kids for not necessarily knowing about Kool G Rap or Rakim kind of thing.
Of course.
And just thinking that like hip hop began with Tupac and
Jay-Z. Well, I can blame you for thinking hip hop started with Tupac and Jay-Z. If you think that, I think you're stupid.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're 10. I think you're stupid.
But this is what kind of...
But I do understand if you don't know this stuff. You have to know that there's a lineage to this. A kid listening to Metallica is not going to say, well, it started with Metallica. They're going to know it comes from somewhere.
So I know, and this is why I have to wonder, why are so many people so ill-informed? Because like you're saying, rock kids, they know about Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? They know about Rolling Stones or something. So why is that message not filtering through with hip-hop?
I think part of it is like the youth culture thing. You know, like hip-hop's represented by young people.
Yeah,
do you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
And I think there's a few different reasons, and not all of them are that the kids just don't care. I think
The
kids
sometimes
just, they live just different, they've grown different. I think hip-hop in its form has changed. So, you know, rock has been quite consistent. Hip-hop was this cultural thing that had to be broken apart in order to commodify it. So in doing that, you kind of pull it away from its root and its core as well. So I think that's part of the reason. I don't think it's just that the kids don't care.
Of course it's not, because I mean, my nieces and nephews, they care about Bob Marley because they've been shown Bob Marley's music.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're educated in the right way where you can make your own decisions, then you can recognise the lineage. Okay, Rakim, Nas.
Well then in that argument, this is, see, I often get into arguments and I'm on
you
both
to
sides.
I argue
all day, every day. But I'm saying, like, I argue a lot with the young guys about their lack of respect for the culture, but I also have to argue with the older guys about giving them their room to do their thing and recognize the fact that if these kids don't know what came before, part of the problem for that is us. We didn't hand it down to them well.
Say that,
so it goes both ways. It's not this, these kids need to show more respect. Actually, we should have shown them more respect when they were coming up.
This is what I'm always saying. If you are not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So you've got two choices. You can either sit and complain about the state of radio and hip hop, or you can do something about it, which is like, you know, I feel me and Mice are making our contribution.
Absolutely.
Sarah, put that trumpet down right now. I dare you blow that shit in front of the Godfather.
No, but you know what I have to say? I really like you lot's show, you know, because I actually find a lot of hip hop radio quite boring.
Yeah.
I find a lot of hip hop DJs quite uncreative and quite unmotivated.
It's
and
just
not much
playing
of a
the top 10 R&B,
man.
Top 10 hip hop tunes.
Screaming at you.
Dead out. Yeah, dead out. But this show, I find it quite entertaining. So, like, I have a big
appreciate
for that,
that
still.
Man. That means a lot, man.
Yeah, man, it's for real.
So, for
real
our listeners, that, because obviously, you know, we got ignorant and intelligent side, the intelligent side over there, obviously. Some of our listeners might not know who you are.
Yeah,
so,
of course,
I just want to break down for them, like, why we call you the Godfather. are.
Yeah, break that down for me, please. I thought, well, so, I'm only 19. London. Yeah, I get that name.
I mean, put it this way, London. So coming from London Posse, yeah. And we find out about how I never knew. That's the other thing about the documentary is that it felt like a conversation. How you're having a conversation with Rodney P that you've never had before. So you're finding out all of these things about how London Posse was named. I never knew that. Yeah. I don't want to. You lot have to listen to the watch the show.
If yeah, but there's definitely bits. Of it. Honestly, making it, I found out stuff I didn't know.
Yeah, and
I'm a hip hop guy. I'm diehard. I know everything about everything. Yeah. Actually, there's a few things
crazy,
I didn't
man.
Know.
Yeah.
You get me? So it was. I thought it was really good, and hopefully that's what people will take away from it. It's like, for me, it reaffirmed my love of hip hop. But for someone from outside the culture, hopefully it will explain why I love hip-hop.
But also,
this is the thing with hip-hop. I feel there's so many misconceptions about hip-hop. And it's so, you know, I don't want to just put it down to a racial thing, because obviously hip-hop spans all nationalities, all races,
ignorance,
everything now and stuff
racism.
Like that. You know, but it's all the, just, there's so many silly ideas that are perpetuated about hip hop, and for example, going back to the show last night, that was love in that building. Yeah. Like that was a positive experience.
You know,
but you
I
know,
keep
it's easy
you
for
talk
people
about this show, you know, and I'm just it's just hurting my heart. I didn't go, you know, like
bro.
It's hurting my heart. You know,
this
trying
to out of control.
I bet everybody, you fucked up if you didn't make it to the show, because it was something special. It was like,
you know,
wow.
I knew it was. I knew it would be like.
Ghostface is in Norwich tonight, so if you can make it to Norwich, or if you're in Norwich, go up there. But yeah, Raekwon's gone back to the States. So
see, I've seen
Raekwon,
I've seen Ghost, I've seen Wu-Tang, I've seen it all. But I just knew last night was going to be good.
I just knew
it was going to be good tonight.
It was.
I started seeing people posting up pictures from in there. Like,
I'm going offline for Christmas.
It was one of them ones where I couldn't even be bothered. I was just so I
in
couldn't be
moment,
bothered to.
That's when you know it's best, because we watch too much life through our phones these days. Just be in the moment
screen.
And watch the thing. Mm. Feel
that's
it in the moment.
Exactly the mentality I'm at when I go to a live show. But you must have heard. When I saw this show posted up online, I started having palpitations. I was just
Slick
went
Rick.
Into panic attack. Slick Rick!
Yeah, man, I'm doing that show.
Oh, my
Slick
God.
Doing are you doing
yeah,
the show?
Yeah, I'm doing that show.
Ah,
I'm doing that show.
Slick
that's
Rick
crazy.
And honestly, you know what? It might not happen. It might not happen. And this is the first place you want to hear it, but it might not happen. But Bionic lives in Ghana.
Yeah.
And Bionic's favorite MC is Slick Rick. And I found Bionic said, bruv, come London that day there. Like,
wow.
Meaning, like, if we're going to do something, make it be that day there. So,
oh,
like, now, I'm not saying
that's
go and
crazy.
Buy a ticket on the strength of that, but anything can happen.
Buy a ticket
you
on the strength of that.
That's
no,
crazy.
Honestly, when I saw, to me, Slick Rick is one of
the
greatest
man.
People
that's
ever to touch a microphone. He's probably the most influential
and
MC
he's from
of
South
all
London.
Time.
From South
he's
London.
A Londoner.
Like me.
You know.
So he's from South, it's
he's
not
from
East.
South. No, he's from South.
Deptford,
behave yourself, he's from Mitcham.
Mitcham!
He's one of our
South East.
South London, South West, my brother.
South West, I fucked up, man. But anyway, so I want people to know. So you just spoke about Bionic as well.
Okay.
So Rodney P and Bionic, London Posse.
Yeah.
How did you meet up? Like, how the hell did that even?
How did we meet up? Bionic used to spar with my older brothers. Actually, I'm a couple of years younger than Bionic. And we had mutual friends. MC Mello being one of them.
Oh shit!
And them guys used to dance. MC Mello used to be a dancer. There's lots of like pop videos and stuff from back in the day with the body popping in it. It'd be MC Mello and Basil Liverpool, Basil Pepperpot. And Darnell, they had a crew.
Wow.
Mark Maniero, he's an actor, used to be in EastEnders. And they was a dance crew. So they were doing a video, somewhere in the West End, this off Regent Street. And me and Bionic were there as dear mates.
Mm.
So while they're doing their thing, we just started reasoning about this music thing.
Oh, wow.
And this is honest to God, that's from that conversation.
So you were extras, basically. Like
we're even extras. We were just there.
Just hanging.
I was just eating free food and free liquor. Like, you know, I just
rolled
in my dude. That's my dude, isn't it? So we just had
craft,
this conversation about hip-hop and hip-hop reggae and us being London, and we're both into dancehall. And
wow.
We had this conversation, and it kind of stemmed from there. And then from that conversation, quite soon afterwards, Sipo got invited to go on tour with Big Audio Dynamite, which was Mick Jones from the Clashes. And Clash at the time was like the biggest band in the world at the time. This was his new band. Sipo was going on tour with them. Sipo was a kind of celebrity at them time there, God rest him still. And he said, yeah, I'm going to bring some of my mates. So he asked us to go. Me, Bionic, MC Mello as well was supposed to come, but he couldn't come. And that's how it formed. We did our first show in Dublin It was me, Bionic. We had two dancers, Sipo the human beatboxer, and a DJ. Because that's
what year was that?
That was 1986.
Oh, bless you.
So
I love it.
Wait, 1986.
Wait, let's play a tune first, and then I want to get more. We're going to ask you some more questions. This is one of them rare ones.
Yeah, when I'm on the air and we're live, ask me anything you like.
AMA, baby. You hear that? It's an AMA. You lot tweet us at FUBAR Radio or at Mice Diggy, at DJ Sarah Love. Ask Rodney P anything.
Just don't ask
that
me
isn't
about
AMA,
whistle.
Is it? That's A R P. Yeah, just play it.
But you know what tune I'm going to play is this London Posse remix from Freshers.
All right, we got the Freshers.
So let's get into this now. It's FUBAR.
Freshers. It's a London thing. Shout out to the original London Posse Foundations for real. Scandoose. Stray Styles. Architect.
Yo. Blazing tunes like these zoos. This ain't Roddy P, but I'm a rhythm killer too. L-O-N-D-O-N, that's my rhythm killer roots. I've been earning my stripes versus a murder in these shoes. Big up Scandoo, schooling me your London rap roots. Back then I was a youth, I never had a clue. I was more bat spinning records in my room with my boy James and tell him to come through.
Yeah, the cold classic, nostalgic, romantic. Return of the rude boy, third generation. Music, art and fashion was my life verbatim. Ragga you, raised Christian. One picky yet under a groove. Submerged my temple, dad had the speakers that would make the ground tremble. Chest bone vibrates, nothing feels greater. Inspired by granddad with his style from Grenada. We salute the legends cause the legends are bring. True style setting the flow, enough records to fling. London to Japan, France speaking Mandarin. Best to bring the cameras in as I set up the ting. Into the east,
into the east,
into the west,
into the west,
into the south, into the north, into your chest. Salute to Rodney P cause everything's blessed. The region now, London posse to the freshest on the scene.
I keep it buried in a graveyard. Come on, I reload G, so don't play da. Them man they know me already and how we do. It's Rodney P, the rhythm killer with the freshest brand new. Just like them boy they forgot or they never knew. So that the P stand for pepper, London Posse is the crew. Try pressure who? Wanna big up Scandoo, big up Dre and big up Archer too. As we move,
true them not know about me.
London Posse,
mash up every show with my
London Posse.
You can't chuck a ting to the
London Posse.
We do the damn thing cause the
London Posse.
True them not know about me.
London Posse,
mash up every show with my
London Posse.
You can't chuck a ting to the
London Posse.
We do the damn thing, we are the
London Posse.
The gentleman swagger, everything tailor-made. Brogues, trubies, sharp with a skin fade. His walk, his character, archetypal Londoner. Dressing up for hip-hop, a me that breader. A movement encouraging rappers to dress better. A motherfucker genre, you can't pigeonhole us. I jam to the Beatles, I am the walrus. You can't outbox me, fresh as summer invasion London.
95, 94 or whatever. I was only young trying to get it for the levers. Picking up the pen trying to catch Rook's manoeuvres. Ace a skinny man in a city full of boozers. We in the race. Sense far from a tie. All respect to the cookie crew toeing the line. So we could do this and they could do that. We used to MC, now everyone raps.
But as I got older, I knew about the oldest. Had to catch a vibe with the tunes I downloaded. Rapping was a talent, educating was a bonus. We got everyone that paved the way for us to get noticed. They broke down the doors with real raw talent. If YouTube was there back then, it'll be a madness. But instead they're mad, we're travelling round the Atlas. Repping real hip-hop with real London accents.
Yo,
it's
all right, LDN, come from Echo, Lickle Hustle with my MC friends. Long time a day, I ask them where them are the friend. I'm of the people for the people, man, them know me on the end. Don't talk already, now talk again. Be a boom style and all them rap class again. Hey, them little heifers want to come try testers. But I'm saying fuck that food boy, big up the pressure.
True them not know about me.
London Posse,
mash up every show with my
London Posse.
You can't chuck a ting to the
London Posse.
We do the damn thing cause the
London Posse.
True them not know about me.
London Posse,
mash up every show with my
London Posse.
You can't chuck a ting to the
London Posse.
We do the damn thing, we are the
London Posse. Big up the freshers. Never know about Rodney. Big up Bionic, Mark Coley, anywhere you're there. Standard.
Freshers. Featuring Rodney P, the London Posse remix.
Yeah.
That's produced by DJ Devastate, of course. And we're joined by Rodney P right now in the studio with us.
That's right. Hip Hop World News this Friday, BBC 4 from 9 p.m, mother lovers. You better make sure you see this. Like, seriously, man, it was an experience. You know, like I was just saying to you about you know, the fact that it felt like a conversation. It felt like it wasn't just somebody saying, this is what you should do, and this is and this is right, and this.
And we've got this gripe and that. Yeah, we're pissed off about that.
Yeah, and being pissed off and whatnot. It was more like, oh, shit, I didn't even realise that myself. Like, I didn't know. Oh, rah. You know, like, you're learning so many things about...
That was the plan. I mean, and plus, you have to bear in mind as well, we made it for BBC Four. And the BBC Four audience.
Man.
Yeah, it's supposedly highbrow. You get me? So,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's where I watch all my astronomy documentaries.
You sit there, it's true.
You know,
it really was about making something that would please us.
Mm.
But would be an education for those from outside the culture.
Yeah. Well, I've actually, I've got to speak to you after. There's somebody who wants to screen it for some kids or something like that.
Okay.
So I'll find out who's it. But yeah, I think that was another big part of it, is how educational it was. So in terms of, like, you know, there was a part where you were talking about, was it Rakim saying he didn't, he wouldn't say he's a rapper to people or something like that.
Yeah, that was deep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but it's true.
I've heard that from a lot of big hip hop artists where they say, yeah, I'm a recording artist. Yeah.
I don't know, like, pretty much any of us who say that to everybody. Like, if I'm out in with people who I feel understand.
Who speak the language.
Yeah, I'm an MC, I'm a rapper.
Yeah.
But if I'm, like, talking to one of my mum's friends, for me to say I'm a rapper... that's just going to take too much explaining.
But do you know,
it's so difficult nowadays, because often whenever I get on an aeroplane, I speak to the person sitting next to me. I'm not going to play that game of I'm sat here on my own for 9 hours.
Headphones. With the noise counselling in them as well.
Don't talk to me. I'm the annoying person.
I'm the type to go, num, like, you go, oh, shit, you can't see.
Okay, let's allow this.
Yeah.
No, but then it gets to the concept, oh, so what do you do for a living? I'm a DJ. Oh, so what kind of music do you play? And it's so funny, because back in the day, he used to be able to say, oh, I play hip hop. Yeah. And people understood what you're talking about. And now it's like, I have to put this big disclaimer behind it. It's like, no, it's not like that kind of nonsense that you've heard on the radio. Yeah. I'm talking about...
That they should give a new name other than hip hop, because that mumble mouth thing is not what we do.
Yeah, the
but
mumble
this
rap.
I've asked so many different people this question about whether...
They can spit a mumble rap verse, 16 bars freestyle.
I could spit 100 bars of that
all day.
We need to start a mumble rap open mic.
A mumble rap, mumble.
Yeah.
Yo, at the jungle.
But fuck the police.
Bars, bro.
Oh, burning up the mic.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. That's it.
Peace in them out.
That's a hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother show right there, talking about mumble rap.
No, but I mean, the difference, if there should be, if we should differentiate between hip hop and rap, like, you know, and then it's funny because I've asked some real OGs and they're like, no, it's all hip hop. You know, Maceo from De La Soul, that's what he was saying to me. And he said, all of this is just different incarnations of hip hop.
Unfortunately, he's right.
He described it as different incarnations
of hip hop. But I would say this. I heard a youth whose name I don't even know on one of them American breakfast shows say, I don't need to spit a hot 16. If I just want to say hype for the whole record and turn it up, then that's what I'm going to do. Now, if you don't feel the need to write good raps, and you're making tunes that on music that I don't particularly call hip hop, that ain't hip hop. Like you have to want to be good as an MC because that's hip hop.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to be good as an MC, you ain't making hip hop no more.
But also, what you touched on in the documentary too, without us giving away too much, is the elements of hip hop.
Absolutely.
You know, and we can't say that about. I'm not knocking grime. I'm not knocking trap. I'm not knocking rap music. You know, but there are elements, and this is the foundation. And then also, I can't remember who it was saying it, but Lord Jamar. Enough people here talk about this. The fifth element is knowledge. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna be ignorant and say, I don't need to know about, like, nothing
you're not doing what we do.
I do feel like there's a discipline to it. Like, I think obviously coming from that school of hip hop, there's a level of, you know, it's almost like it's a martial art. So if you're going to be an MC, you're trying to be the best MC you could possibly be.
Right.
You're going to DJ, producer, beatboxer, grapher. You know, if it's to do with the arts, you're trying to make the art as good as it can possibly be so it can last as long as it could.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like a lot of people just want to be rappers, or they just want to be famous, or they just want to have their name out of it. And that's cool if that's what you want to do, but
it's not really cool.
It blurs the lines, you know what I mean? It blurs the lines. So now you got people who may feel like, oh man, we got a chance to do what we wanted to do, so you should let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, and I do feel that.
Yeah.
I definitely feel you should let them do what they want to do, but you have to pay respect to the culture. So if you say you want to do hip hop, learn what that culture is and do that. And you can variate it in any way you want to because I don't think it should stay the same. Yeah. It has to change. It has to become something
good. Like Buddha says in life, the only certainty in life is change.
You sit there and we have to allow the youth to listen. Honestly, when I listen to 1986, 1987, 1988 UK hip hop, I think most of it's crap. But out of that melting pot of garbage came some of the most beautiful stuff. And I think when I first heard grime music, I would have said, grime is garbage.
The man ain't
got no lyrics. The beats sound like they should have just turned off the Fruity Loops. But 10 years later, I think some of the best MCs in the UK come from the grime scene. So you need that moment of trial and error. And I think that's part of what's going on with that stuff. Part of it is the trial and error.
Let's I don't see, know, the mumble rap, I think that's a straight up error.
That's just
though.
Garbage.
That's just
garbage.
A straight up, like, I don't know what I could put in here, so, and plus these drugs are fucking me up right now. The lean's got me lean, like, look, you know what I mean? Like, you just had a stroke.
Hip-hop kids, we smoke ganja. We smoke herbs. Anyway, let me stop.
Certain philosophies. But right now you're tuned into Fubar Radio, and we're joined by Rodney P. Rodney, you were brave enough to say that we can ask you anything.
Anything
like that. It's an AMA
with Rodney P. We've had a few questions sent in. But I did also, before we get into that, can I ask you something really controversial? So recently,
as
I saw people were up
us
in arms. the Battle of the Shiny Forest. So, no, there's a three-way battle going on here right now. Recently.
I was just checking because the way she's looking at your forehead and then she looked at my one.
You made me want to draw from my bandana and get a little damp down.
I wasn't. Mine's trying to get me in trouble. I'm going to get myself in trouble right now.
Let's go.
No, it's okay. No, but recently, I saw people were up in arms and it was like people were ready to get arms house kind of thing because there were certain comments that Tim Westwood made in an interview with Giggs, and it was funny because he made certain ridiculous comments and even Giggs looked at him like, dude, are you on crack?
Funny enough I am.
Have you got some?
Do you want to smoke?
Here's the pipe.
That's a good question. What happened was, for those who don't know, I believe Westwood was interviewing Giggs. Giggs is a rapper that most people should know. He talks like that when he's rapping. I think he's actually really good.
A lot of people don't.
They don't want to like him because he's so road and they can't relate to that.
And also,
but he's a good MC.
What I like about Giggs, and what I like about, and I've been telling people this for a long time. See, when you come to the table, bring your own thing.
Bring something different. Yeah,
he brought his own thing. All of these men who rap like other man, you ain't got a leg to stand on. He's brought something new to the table. You ain't brought nothing. So that would be my opinion on that.
And so Westwood was chatting to Giggs, and Giggs was saying, the part of the video that I saw was it cut to Giggs saying, but, you know, in the 90s and whatnot, UK, the people that were making music then were hard, you know, like the UK hip hop back then was hardcore. And then Westwood was trying to downplay it.
You see what it is? Let me tell you what I think, right? I think Westwood is a dick rider. So he was trying to ride Giggs's dick and say, yeah, them man were all shit, but you man are wicked now,
innit? That's because
he thought that would earn him a stripe. Because he's a fucking idiot. And Giggs, to salute the youth, didn't take the bait.
He didn't take the bait.
Like, he schooled him. Yeah. So now you're mad. Some of them man was hard. What about Rodney P and them
Rodney
man?
P, yeah.
Westwood, who has an issue with me, said he didn't want to give that up. So really, what you really see him do is go kind of quiet and say, nah, he's got a plum in his mouth. But Westwood can't really say, for me, that's not a diss. We're not in play school. This ain't the schoolyard. So if you want to talk up, innit? But really and truly, I have to be honest and say, over the years, I've had a few digs at Westwood, you know. And there's a few interviews I've done where I've had digs at Westwood. So I'm not mad at Westwood. I found it quite funny. I found it quite funny. And I don't think he would have expected the response that he got for it. I don't think
it was amazing.
He would have took it quite lightheartedly.
Yeah.
And people
Other people really took it to heart.
I have to say thank you to Westwood for that, because it reminded me how much love I got out there. You're just in the hustle and doing your thing.
When
I saw the response of people saying, "Wow, you can't talk about Rodney P like that," it just made me feel like, "Wow, you still do it." You see, when you graft for something, like this scene, I've worked hard for this scene over the years. I've done a lot of work for this scene.
We
and it's just
be
nice
here.
To know that
We got your back, Rodney. We got your back. Ultimately, Westwood just made... No one needs to gun him because he made himself look bad on the whole thing because everyone was like, okay, you look and sound like a crackhead right now.
Yeah. No, you look like a vampire. That's on crack.
But I also want to say, though, I'm not in the anti-Westwood gang. The last interview I did, like, where Westwood was mentioned, I actually gave him a lot of credit. And in hindsight, like, a lot of the little niggles and issues I've had with Westwood, in hindsight, early, they weren't valid, you know? So, he's a dickhead. But that's just him. All the other stuff about supporting the music and the radio show and all that other stuff, a lot of it, I take it back. Because what I said, let me explain what my point of view is, is that I feel like we got older and Westwood didn't, so we got mad at him. So, when I was 16, he was my favourite DJ. And all the way up to the time I was about 22, 23, 24, my favourite DJ. But now I'm 28, now I'm 29, now I'm 30. How comes Westwood ain't playing no tune for me? How comes, like, it's still this little picnic music that he's playing? Okay. Like, he's playing music for the new set of 14 to 24-year-olds. Mm-hmm. We've grown through that.
Yeah.
So now we're getting mad at Westwood because he's not supporting us. He's not doing nothing for us, but he's doing his job. He's playing for them 14 to 24-year-olds. You get me?
I also think he was keeping himself relevant more so than...
Trying to,
because,
exactly.
Like, there was the shift in, like, the scene... In terms of hip hop, just in general, worldwide, I feel like there was a time when the DJ was telling you, this is good, this is good, this is what you should listen to. Yeah. But then it shifted to now, what do the kids think is good? But it's like,
the more hip hop became the commodity. Hip hop was this thing that we in the culture made and sent out to the world, you know? And we had these moderators who were the DJs.
Gatekeepers
who were the DJs who would say, this is good shit, that's bad shit. Mm. And we respected them for it. Mm. But at some point, it just became, well, my man needs to sell more records. I'm going to say that shit's good. And we lost respect for the DJ because they didn't do their job no more.
And that was a sad turning point. And, you know, we don't use that word often anymore, but, you know, the people who sold out kind of thing.
I don't respect the hip hop DJs. There's not many hip hop DJs in the UK who are on radio that I respect at all. And a lot of them play my records because I have personal relationships with them, so probably I should shut my mouth now. But the reality is, you man, to me, done sold the thing long time. And I understand everyone's got bills to pay, but where's the...
I can't go on radio saying
this tune is wicked, it's the brand new thing, knowing I think it's garbage.
I can't do that.
At
the end of the day, I know, hand on heart, I can stand in front of anybody and say, I have always played music that I love and believe in, and I have never sold out because something's worth more than money.
And that's why I can sit here in front of you and have that conversation. You get me? I can sit here and have that conversation with you because I do respect you as a DJ. I respect my man Shorty Blitz. Big up MK. Big up Certain Man. I can't call everybody.
But even with Westwood, I think at the same time we have to respect what Westwood has his accomplishments in the story of hip hop in this country. You know what I mean? Exactly. And so as much as we might not like certain moves that he's done over time. But at the same time, when I look at Westwood, he's someone that I feel sorry for. I genuinely want to give him a crack pipe. No, but I feel sorry for him. I want to give him a hug. Because he needs some help.
Yes,
and he needs help because this is someone who's lost in the matrix. The Westwood I know is a real insecure dude.
That's what I'm saying.
And I guarantee you,
like this conversation we're having here, we'll get back to Westwood. He's a guy who's probably listening now. Hey, Tim. He's that dude. He's a very insecure. He worries about what people think of him.
And I can see that in his aura. You know what I mean? And I feel sorry for him because he is someone, you can see he hasn't got any mates. Because like you say, when you spend your time dick riding.
Well, a part of it is like flipping.
I'm not trying to take it to the gutter, Tim.
I could take it to the gutter. I could drag your name through the mud, but I'm gonna let it go.
What you was gonna say? The interview with a vampire was actually his life story.
I'm gonna let it go.
All right, let's move on because
we're running out of time.
But again, I just want to say because I don't want it to be the moan fest. I have to say, if it wasn't for Westwood, I probably wouldn't be here doing this interview with you now.
And if it wasn't for you, then we probably wouldn't be here interviewing you now.
So it's the domino effect.
Why I felt sad for him. I almost shed a single tear when I saw him making those comments because I'm like, dude, you need help. You need love in your life. Yeah. Because it's, come on, a lot of his reputation was built on London Posse. His involvement with your story, putting out your music.
He's a big part of our story.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's how
So for him to take that stance, that's why I just laughed. And when I saw it, I really, I had no idea that people would take that much offence to it because I thought it was. I just thought, you dickhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know what he's like already.
You dickhead. But it was so good for me to see the love.
And it was instant. Good. It was like the video had been up a couple hours and people were like, you need to see this. It's an outrage. Yeah. People were going nuts, like beating up their outside, computer, typing those updates.
So I appreciate that. So for the scene and for the culture, for the crew that stood behind me, I'll let you know, I appreciate that love I felt. I had a big smile on my face that whole week off the back of that statement.
Can't so lie. Thanks, Tim. We love you
nice
for that.
Nice one, my brother.
So let's go get on more with the RPA, the Pardon? Ask Rodney P Anything session.
Oh, yeah. Connie Con locked into the show. He wanted to ask you about that group home track you did. Go!
Connie Con, go on and big up, old man. Big up the Manchester crew. Yes, Sons of Zeus, all of that. Children of Zeus, even. I better get it right. group hold tune. What happened? London Posse, we actually kind of, we split up by then. Tricky. Who is, you know, the
Tricky.
Me and
Mice
worked with Tricky.
Yeah, we got a story about Tricky. We got signed by Tricky for like 48 hours. Yeah.
Right, see, we got signed by Tricky. London Posse got signed by Tricky.
We didn't actually sign anything, but we got signed.
Okay,
my check cleared anyway. My check cleared.
Yeah, we did. I think we got a couple drinks and some. That was it. Some oil. I got some ash oil. I don't know if you got some, but that's about it. But it was a good deal.
That was a good 48 hours.
Yeah, what's it like?
Well, actually, it lasted the whole summer.
Definitely lasted. I was on that Peter Pan movie. Oiled up. Anyway,
sorry, we digress. Yeah. Continue, Rodney. We do actually want to find out about the group home track you did.
Tricky. Dickie had a label called Durban Poison, and we signed to that. Yeah, London Posse
signed to that. As well. 48 hours.
Yeah.
And we went out to New York actually. We went out to New York and we were just recording tracks, doing stuff, working with Tricky, doing bits and bobs. And one of the things we did, that we went into the studio with Little Dap from Group Home.
Does he really sound like that as well when he's talking?
Exactly
like
sound
that. Like, hey, Rodney P, man, you know what I'm
exactly
saying?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's exactly crazy, that. Man.
We was in there with him. We was in there with a few, I can't actually remember who else was there, but Little Dap was there, and we did a recording. We got a few recordings together that never came out. And I don't have them. So
who has them?
Shit. That's the million-dollar question. It seems to me that Little Dap might have them, because what Connie Con's talking about is that I know Connie's got a mixtape with the verse that Little Dap does on the tune on it. And then right at the very end of it, you hear my voice coming.
Wow.
And that's how Connie was like, that sounds like Rodney P.
Shit.
And that's how Connie heard it. So like, that stuff exists. If you ever come across it, please send me a copy. But it's out there. It's out there. And that's me, Bionic, Little Dap, and a whole heap of Brooklyn dudes. Some vibes thing still. And it was real interesting seeing how them man work in the studio differently from us at the time as well.
In what way then?
Because where these UK rapper, if I got 16 bars and I go in a booth, I need to be able to rap my 16.
Yeah, that's where ignorant like that,
If I mess up on bar 15, we have to do it again,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
That man there, one line.
One line.
Wow. It was a revelation to me. I was actually quite disappointed.
Was that on tape or that? Was it recorded on that or on...
It would have been on...
2-inch tape or...
Maybe 2-inch tape, maybe that.
Fucking hell,
man.
Yeah,
just a while
if that was
still
on tape, that's crazy.
But that's what they were doing, bro. That's how they would record. So that man is all about good engineers. You need a good engineer. But that's still what they do now. That's the same way Little Wayne does his tunes now. That's how they record. It's a different kind of thing.
Mm. So I wanted to ask, what's the most... We got a theme up here, because obviously Sarah does a lot of famous ass shit. She don't like to admit it, but if you see her gliding into the forum yesterday, I was outside because I just had regular tickets. But I just see Sarah like that. I was like, rah. But it was like she was gliding. She was gliding in there. Like, I saw chaperones. I swear I see like security all fanning her down. They didn't pat her down. They just got fanning her down.
It was like coming to America and they're making way for
But I'm interested because you've recorded songs with Bjork.
Yeah.
You've done some crazy, what's the most famous ass shit you can think of that you've done?
Most famous ass shit?
Yeah. shit where you're like, right, I'm fucking famous.
I'm sorry, some of the things in the documentary airing this Friday on BBC 4.
Yeah, I did a lot of them this summer. During this documentary. Interviewing Russell Simmons by the pool, by his house and stuff.
Yeah, that must have been crazy.
But then it's stuff, I tell you the big stuff, I go to Chuck D's mum's house. like yeah. the house that oh. he grew up in. Like, it's not like, and like, he took me in, like, there's stuff you don't see in it, but like, he took me in the basement, and there's like all this old PE stuff, like the old merch,
memorabilia.
And tapes, oh my God, and not that merch, VHS videos, wow. and like, it was like being in pan, like, it was just like, I was like a school
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, I feel like you guys should do a bonus of this because there must be so much like B-roll stuff.
I really want to do like the Rakim interview as well. Like, again, like we're doing interviews. And you have to remember, we're doing interviews. We say, oh, you're going to have them for 10 minutes. You only got 10 minutes. Mm. And when we got to sit down, thankfully, we're pretty much everyone. When we got to sit down and explain what we were doing, no one wanted to leave. We was with Rakim for like 2 hours.
Hip hop heads,
like,
man.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of stories in that. Yeah. He tells me the story of the microphone fiend. And we use a bit of it in the
yeah,
doc.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But he tells the whole story, like wow. the whole thing, and where it happened and who's involved. Yeah, you get me? Like, I'd love to for people to see that.
Yes.
I would love to.
No, yeah, that's yeah. the other thing. Even you after 90 minutes, happen. I was like, there's got to be a part two yeah, of this. There's so we've got to make it happen. We're quickly running out of time on the show, and we've still got to get into... No, but this is what it's like with the hip-hop.
Okay, so just all we got is a picture here. Look, so shout out to DJ Jaffa. He's posted a picture. This is from
the Cardiff crew. Don't know.
He says, this is from the big Audio Dynamite gig. Can you explain wow. what we can see here? It's a blurry picture because obviously we didn't have Instagram back then.
Jaffa, you're killing me with this. Bub, you need to send me this picture. It's kind of blurry, this pic, but what you can see is Sipo, me, and Bionic. Aww. And I can see Bionic's got on his African pendant. Mm. And you can also see that Bionic's got on a white furry Kangol, and I've got on a black furry Kangol. That means we just came back from our trip to New York because we brought them back fresh. And that was like, no one ever had those, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, we were early furry Kangol team. Wow. So I can date it through that. We just come back from New York because we got our furry Kangols on.
No stories doubt. Even that's just like that bring a tear to my eyes.
It's amazing,
I'm
man. And
you.
Listen, party people, like we've been stressing, you have to watch this documentary. It's on Friday, BBC 4.
What time is it?
From 9 p.m. 9 to 10:30.
Yeah,
it's an hour and a half, but trust me, it won't feel like it. But if you do need to go pee beforehand, I'll make sure, or just wear a nappy, like, you know what I mean.
Just put the nappy on.
But remember, it's on the iPlayer. It's on the iPlayer. You can always catch it up later. And I did say at the screening, people, like, we're looking for numbers for this. So if you're in your house and you're a bit bored, you're not doing that, and just put it on the iPlayer. And if you've seen it once and you're not doing it, and in your house, put it on the iPlayer again. Just let it go on repeat on your iPlayer, and that way we'll make sure we get the opportunity to make some more programs like that.
That's how we used to cheat on YouTube. Shout out to the old school YouTube where you can monetize.
Just refresh.
Bro, we've got bare views on my shit.
I'm telling you.
But no, this is going to be real. Hip Hop World News, hosted by Rodney P.
And those hashtags, get those hashtags going.
The hashtag is
BBC4Hip Hop.
Yep.
Go on, Sarah.
I've got you, Rodney.
Go on, Sarah. I love you, girl.
But thank you so much for coming through. Chill for the rest of the show with us if you
you gotta get him back in again and do this AMA. Like, if we promote it, let everybody know, like, yo, this week we got Rodney P in and ask him anything.
I'm definitely up for that.
That would be amazing, man.
But I just want you to know, Rodney, as well, how much we all appreciate you and we all love you so much and we appreciate everything you've done.
Godfather.
No, because so many people, there's so many men in this game where they're afraid to say the L word. I ain't afraid to say that. You know, I love you and I appreciate you so
Thank
much.
You, my dear.
And
love
I know
you
there's
too.
So many people out there who, it for them, they're too big a men to say something like that. So I'm saying it on their behalf too as well. So thank you for everything. Thank you, Tim, as well. We do love you as well.
I don't know about that, but
everybody needs some love. Everyone needs love in their life. But before we get into our open mic and welcome these MCs into the studio, let's play you this brand new Mickey Facts featuring Knots Rods.
Rods, you're going to stick around for the
yeah,
open mic?
Yeah, I'm going to stick around.
You know, people need to know, like, this guy, why we call him the Godfather is because I think, like, and that's the other thing I wanted to ask you, but in terms of being a UK rapper, you know, you were coming up at a time where people must have been laughing at you. Like, what, really? Like, you know,
even when we first came out, the idea of making a career out of rapping weren't really like, it wasn't feasible, you know. And thankfully, I've been able to do it. But it's not like I'm the first UK rapper. We're known as being one of the first to use the UK accent. But I came up listening to Pretty Boy G and the Capital Boys and Family Quest, like, you know, Dizzy Heights. Their man was all here before me, and I was a fan, Cookie Crew. Like,
and, you know, in some ways, I feel bad for some of these guys because often these people's names get overlooked because it is, you know, that clear watershed in hip hop in this country was when, you know, we had these big records that were in the UK accent. Yeah. London Posse is synonymous with that. So a lot of people get looked over, and it's not that we don't have love or appreciation, because that's a key contribution.
I'll tell you what, if you want that information, I am actually in the midst of producing another doc called Under the Influence. Sarah's been interviewed for it already. And that is what we look at. We shine the light back at who was here when I got here, and then shine the light forward about what came next. So
but
look,
you're
going
to come back on the show before that airs as well to tell us all about more about that documentary.
Cool.
As well, aren't you? Okay, so
sure.
Let's get into this. You're tuned into Food Bar Radio. Thank you, Rodney. It's so lovely to have you here. The open mic is coming up next.
You're damn right.
Squiggy. Couple words for the ears of the listeners. You're here as a visitor. Please leave your signature. Please. Diary of Mickey on display. It's a yearbook. Privacy is really a decay. I'm a werewolf alive in the night. 4:14 on my clock as I write. Bills on my countertop, rocking my life. Bill collectors flock calling nonstop, got me tight. They blocked out a spike. Credit score grown. Bank account got a common now for the moment. Health insurance got a brother zoning. The misery of life is history. Crazy how a number with 2 4s just got a trilogy. America about to vote Trump instead of Hillary. What happened to the dignity? Somebody gotta tell me before I have me a mini mick. Yeah. And be a Fajr like Mike Myers, minus being a monster. Sitting on a chair sipping OJ and vodka. Americana sponsored. People creeping in my inbox like the Contra. Listen to my son, please. Little do they know I do the same thing with Don C. Difference is the angle. We ain't speak since April 2014. There go that number again. It's still haunting me. Deja vu, but I won't let it conquer me. People know the name, but it's so hard to market me. Hurting every vein, my brain and all my arteries. The black Sean Connery. Y3 honorary member is a nominee. Came a long way from my lawyer dreams. All it means is a couple hundred words can change a man's outlook. Go from unemployed to dreaming about how the house look. Concrete flaws got it looking like a law. 2013, man, I couldn't buy a boss. 2 years later, now I'm looking like a boss at the dealership saying I look good inside a Porsche. Two-seater, few visas, new Caesar, ruler and haircut, true leader. Got them sick to their stomach, now that's a flu fever. Going over my words, they all proofreaders. Yes. Lesson learned without a school teacher. Paying Paul before I knew Peter. Yeah. Expressionism, scribes for my supporters. I'm hoping the letters hit him. Praying Loretta feel him. Lauren getting older, I'm hoping to give her wisdom. She better listen. Blank canvas on the wall, my television. It's knocks in my heart, these words are in the prison. Reflect the prison. I had 414 in my bank account. Same time in the morning, I had to think it out. Same number of words I used to paint it out. 414.
14. Oh yeah.
You're listening to the best of Sarah Love and Mike Stiggy on FUBAR Radio.
You're locked into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mike Stiggy, a.k.a. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake. And we are joined by...
the man with the golden sound, Mr. Lewis Parker. How you doing, people?
In the building, boy.
You're from.
You got legendary status in here.
Enjoying the grapes.
Yeah, he's got his grapes. So.
It's the man with the grapes in the studio.
The man with the golden grapes, man.
The green grapes. You feel me?
No, everyone will love to fresh hear you eating grapes on air. That's fantastic.
Nice.
Lewis, what's been happening? Because a little while ago, Dan from King Underground Records, he was here on the show. What's up, Dan? Dan's in the studio and chilling in the background, providing
Big
the grapes.
Big Dan, King Underground, pimping all the artists.
He's got that
CEO look on his face.
He's the CEO, brother. He's got to tell you. He tried to keep it cool and casual, but this guy, you don't even understand him.
You know when someone's important when they're on their phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing shit. For some reason, it always feels like, they got some shit to do.
Yeah, he connecting the dots.
Because you did a project together with King Underground.
Mm. We've done many projects.
Few, right?
We've been... working now since 2010, you know what I'm saying? I stepped to Dan with an album when he was actually before that doing online vinyl sales. That's what he was specializing in, you feel me? Mm. So he was just selling all the dope hip hop wax online online record store, you know, and putting on shows and doing and I've been seeing his grind for a minute at that point, and I thought, he in a position, you know what I'm saying, that would be dope if he was a label as well. So I went to him with the proposition. I got this big game album. Been trying to get it situated for a few years now. Mm. It came out digitally, but no physical wax, it would be lovely to put this on vinyl.
And your shit what should you be saying? On vinyl as well.
Every time it's got I only like dealing with vinyl, you know what I'm saying? So it's I stepped to Dan. I knew he felt the same way about records, and I knew he was into my shit. So we put our heads together, and that was the first official King Underground release in 2010 was The Big Game. And it's been onwards and upwards since then. And since then, you know, he's stepped big King Underground Records up to a whole next level. You know what I mean? Because he got all kind of artists dealing with international acts from the States all the way to Norway to we got two beat makers in Russia. Big up my man DJ Bora.
Oh yeah, yeah, you played some of his
and
stuff.
And Vital right? coming out next, you know what I mean? And these guys are from Russia, and they got the real hit you in the head boom bap beats for real, you know what I mean? And these is Russian dudes, you know what I mean? So Dan connected the dots on a worldwide level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
that's
nice,
really nice.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. And I respect and appreciate people like Dan so much who do all that hard work to actually get the music from Lewis's SP to our ears, you know, because there's
you've got to give me a lot of credit for that.
No, well, look, I was trying to segue smooth. Yeah. I am Segue Sarah.
Yeah.
Also, that's another alias.
Right.
Auntie Sarah, Segue Sarah.
Auntie Sarah.
Auntie Segue Sarah today.
Segue Sarah.
No, because I mean, Lewis, with this recent project, it's still very much in that like classic Lewis Parker golden sound vein.
Oh yes,
isn't
very
it?
Much, very much.
Do you
so.
Reckon you're always going to stay in that type
I'm just,
of sound?
I'm just. Oh, I think this record here is a little bit different for me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Even though it's my records are always going to be. You know, have a lot of dope drum, like drum breaks and drums that really make.
Hell, we ain't gonna what? Yeah. We ain't gonna get
you
know no 808.
You
like,
ain't really gonna. You ain't really gonna catch rap. That from me. You know what I mean? No mumble rap around here.
I want to hear
know,
Lewis Parker and do
we
some
don't
mumble
do,
rap.
We don't
beats.
Do the clicks and funny whatever 808 weird sounds that don't even sound like a kick and a snare on a. You know, my record since I've come out, it's always been about the sound of breaks. You know what I mean? Real hip hop to me has always been about digging in the crates, finding the break. You know what I mean? Hooking up, rhyming over that shit. You know what I mean? That's always been the essence for me. So for me, when I say I think this record is kind of a progression. You know how I look at my stuff as well is in years of where I'm getting sounds from and what kind of style I'm trying to aim for. On Release the Stress was a record that for me is 1978, 1979. You know what I mean? That's the style, that's the feel of the record. The whole three records, including the remix, is in that zone. We're just coming into the 80s. That's where that record is, but done in a Lewis Parker style with the chopped up SP drums.
Are you still using the SP?
That's all, you know, that's what I
Seriously?
Use.
How many SPs have you got running now, Lewis?
I got three SPs, you know what I'm saying?
Can you explain for people who might, you look,
sorry,
it might just sound like a
like,
the SP, they're like,
you
what?
Know,
we're speaking
can you explain?
The EMU SP, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you just throw
like,
people up. I thought you were going to start saying
EMU-SP12 or EMU-SP1200, the two most classic, in my opinion, samplers ever used in hip-hop, you know what I mean? Possibly the most pivotal, and I would say, yes, the most pivotal, because when you look at the majority of real classic hip-hop anthems and records, most of them were done with the SP or had the SP... It, use it on the drums or sequence or somewhere a part of the beat, you know, is that weighed up with the MPC 60? But I would say the SP kind of hole is the heavyweight.
And what is it about the SP that
it's the way it sounds? It has a very specific sound to it. It has a very specific swing to how it programs.
But it's incredible when you see how many. Off the hook record, like pieces of art have been created on the SP.
Yeah,
where it's like
you know,
what 3 seconds sample time?
You have 10 on the 1200. The later edition, you have 10 seconds, and on the original 12, you have 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So you haven't got too much to work with, and anyone who's used to working with an SP knows you have to learn how to work in them working about them. Some of the dopest hip hop records that ever came out were done within that time frame. But I will break the silence here or whatever, you know. It's all, when you see a man with an SP and a 950, that usually means he's got most of the sounds in the 950. You feel me? And the drums and the The shit that's carrying the beat is most likely in the SP. You feel me?
Wow.
And, so, and in the production world, like, really, that is the holy duo, the 950, yeah, the 950 and the SP.
So what's the 950 yeah. now? Because you know,
the,
you know
what I mean? The Akai 950. You know what the 950 is.
I do, but I'm saying for the people yeah. who don't
the,
know.
The Akai 950 is a rack mount sampler. You can also get the Akai S900, which to me is the dopest sound in Akai, period. The Akai S900.
Okay.
Best Akai you're going to get, especially if you want to do your drums on it. Cats, a lot of cats think, you know, a lot of my earlier shit was on the SP. A lot of that shit until about 99, 2000 was on Akais, you know what I'm saying? And the Akai 900 was my favorite to go to for drum sounds. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't, it would be a, it would be the 950, if not, you know what I'm saying? So...
Because I got to say, Lewis, like, you know, to me, you're one of the most important producers to come out of this country, full stop.
Well, thank
and
you very much.
It's like, and you have certified classic releases under your belt. Like, to me, a record like Masquerades and Silhouettes, that's, you know, every hip-hop fan in the UK, we spoke about Marcus Garvey earlier and the importance of understanding our history and our heritage, where we've come from, to know where you're going, you know. And a record like that, I think it's an important part of the story of hip-hop in this country.
Oh, definitely. You know what I mean? I'd agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, the stuff I did on the early, on the first part of my career, in terms of from when I came out with B-Boy Antics, Walking the Sky, then Rise, then to come on to Masquerades and Silhouettes, I think it set a little precedent and kind of changed the scene. I said it, I think I even said it last time I was on the radio here, but I kind of think that that orchestral hard drums feel that I definitely was predominant in doing in the early 90s influenced a lot of guys to what they were doing and what I would say became the UK hip-hop, more of a signature sound, where you would say this is a UK sound.
And
it was a lot of that was from me buying charity records and buying, you know, Ray Conniff and Perry Como kind of records, you know what I'm saying, sampling from that kind of shit. I think it opened up doors of possibilities and people were like, we don't have to sound exactly this. We don't have to be using all the soul samples. And you started to hear a lot more, I don't know, English kind of sounding loops and shit going on in UK rap. You know what I mean? And I think I had a heavy hand in pushing it that way.
Yeah, just
I mean?
Dust that dirt off your shoulders,
yeah,
man.
No problem. And,
let me put that trumpet down.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying, brother? Yeah.
Yo, so, so going back to this, like, the SP, the Emus, Ostriches, you know, all these samplers. How did you find out? Like, how, you know, because...
Well, the SP was something that is all... If you know, if you are into hip-hop and you're listening to the records and you're with other heads, it's going to start becoming a thing that comes up. Oh, this was done on the SP. Oh, that was done...
By who, though? Because there wasn't no internet then. So, like, who...
Nah, but, you know, you even, you know, how Pete Rock on, you know, and this is your cats getting the SP. You know what I'm saying? And certain little references. People who know in the new. For me, my first... ever straight experience with someone being like, yo, the SP is the shit, is your boy Ben Grimm. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to ask you about Ben Grimm.
Shouts to Ben Grimm.
Sorry, I don't mean to scare
And Ben Grimm, you know, I met Ben Grimm through my man Lasala Dolo, who was the co-producer of Champions of Nature. So
Champions of Nature was the crew.
This is about 96 when I was in Camberwell. Dolo lived just around the corner in Camberwell. My boy bumped into him in the laundrette, in the laundrette, and he happened to accidentally be reading the Down Low, which I was on just on the front cover of.
Serious.
My boy went up to him and said, "That's my boy Lewis. I live with him just over here." He goes, "Oh well, yeah, I make beats, rare. We should link up." My boy's come and told me, cut a long story short, I end up round Dolo's. We get cool. Dolo takes me to Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm was the first cat to load up a 10-second SP 1200 beat in my face and playing it. It was some ill shit, porno beat he did with a bunch of porno samples and some ill drums. And I'm like, yo, that shit is crazy, you know. And I was slightly younger than these cats, but they heard my records and was like, Lewis is on some shit. He's in the right direction. You know,
that's amazing, man.
Show him some shit. Now, you know about Ben. Ben had lived in the States for a good 4 or 5 years. You know,
so he got schooled out there. 90s.
He had a store where he went. He was in, I think it was A1 Digging, and he bumped into Finesse. Finesse said, yo, come back to the crib.
Lord Finesse,
wow. The man, all right? And if you know about SPs and Beasts, Lord Finesse is the man, right? So Ben has has been invited by Finesse to go to the crib. Finesse plays him a beat, does a freestyle. Mm. You know, Ben is blown away. Finesse drops some jewels on him, like, yo, this is how we get the drums to sound like how we get the drums.
Yeah.
And he showed him this secret shit, right? He came back to England calling this shit the trick.
Ben Grimm brought the arc to you, boy. Ben Grimm brought the arc.
He brought it back.
Jesus.
So this is just before Masquerades and Silhouettes dropped. I had the whole thing finished. Anyone knows about Masquerades, there's an earlier version that did get released to promo and it had the cut, Casa Forte on it, with Super T, which I had to lose that track because I couldn't get the sample clearance for the Concerto Aranez joint that was on there. So that's why I had to do a joint called A Thousand Fragments, you know what I'm saying, for the album. And it actually, if you listen to the album, A Thousand Fragments stands out because it sounds slightly different, especially on how I was doing the drums to the rest of the album.
See.
So A Thousand Fragments was after
you got
Ben
the gems dropped on you.
Schooled me with some gems.
Yeah.
You had to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I started chopping up my drums different because of the shit that Ben heard from Finesse.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
The
see
lineage.
What does right
I
there,
know.
Man. That's amazing.
But
that's
it's also
crazy
like
story,
that's the
man.
Era of the word of mouth in person. Word of mouth.
And
I
that
mean.
Was before the internet. And this is how we used to learn about hip hop and shit like that before. And it was word of mouth, who you knew, what people would show you. You know, I always have to shout out Mark B because Mark B was also one of the first cats that I was around, you know.
Rest in peace.
That was killing the SP. Hard body, like at that point, I would say Mark was killing the SP harder than anyone in the UK because he was putting out records from like 94 from the SP, you know what I mean? And you know,
incredible lineage we have in this country. If you missed our show that we did a tribute to Mark B, where we did chat to you as well, we had a whole host of stars like chatting about Mark. Definitely listen back to that at foobarradio.com/hip-hop. These are all such important names to know about if you really want to understand your history as a hip hop head. Or as a UK music fan, but I want to play the people something for play this release the stress record because I also want to play another joint of yours, Lewis. But first, let's drop the beat. But this is out right now, isn't it? Already,
this is out right now. The pre-order is up. Go to King Underground, www.kingunderground.com for your pre-order. Get the ill single 12 inch. We doing it like this was still the 90s.
The one with
you
the
know
video,
what I mean?
Right?
Yeah, this is the video joint. You know what I mean?
4th of November.
CEO just said it. Yeah,
the
so we
CEO
got to say
in the
that.
Back with the shotgun pointed at us.
We have to speak to the complaints department. Cracks knuckles.
But this is FUBAR Radio. It's the hip hop show. Myself, Sarah Love, Mice Diggy, and we are joined by the ultra special guest, Lewis Parker. Let's do it.
Word up. Check it out. Shit is ill, yo. Yes, indeed. And we still taking it sky high, baby. Sky high, baby. Shit is real. Shit is real. To all the people still holding me down. Check it out now. It's all love, baby. Yo, check it. Nowadays, shit is ill, just trying to hold your own. To make papers and stay straight in the golden zone. That's why most time I stay alone at the residence. On the DL, in the lab with all the elements. I smoke for Skarma. The phone rings with all the drama. Situation staying lava. Feeling like I need to calm down and relax. But these times is tense and have you stressed to the max. Falling through the gaps. Find yourself in the gutter with the rats. I rock the butter tracks all day. Spit the ill facts, no play. The fly breaks on wax. Get hooked up and stashed away. Racing with time. Straight cash on the mind. Flip the record like a crime. Then cool shorty to recline. Rocks the ill steelo. Steady in the cup with the gems on the D-Lo. Release the stress. Take it to the top side. Don't settle for less. Release the stress. Show them what you got signed. You one of the best. Days get hectic, can't find no escape or exit. Snakes on the move, trying to flex on the next shit. And shit is tough as ever, scrambling for cheddar. The fam
family on edge, trying to keep shit together. And every day's a struggle on how to make the next bundle. I love the music, but got to flip shit like the hustle. Word niggas was wildin' when I was shot in beats on Staten Island. Around the time when that shit was cheating and lying. Time crazy flying. Nowadays, it be feeling like my heart is iron. The shit is wild, ill. Your man's pulled that snake move for real. Man, he be playing for the team, but had his hands in the till. Frozen in suspension. Days of heavy tension. I flip the beat, so I don't fall into a depression. The city keep you caught up. New plans get drawn up when you run in the race of life without taking no shortcuts. Release the stress. Release the stress. Take it to the top side. Don't settle for less. Release the stress. Release the stress. Show them what you got, son. You one of the best. Release the stress. Release the stress. Life is mad wild. That's why niggas smoke sass. Release the stress. Release the stress. Expect the real deal. Forget it all. And yo, it's everyday pressure, trying to go the whole measure. I hold it down and always plan the next venture. And these haters can't see me, but still talking all greasy. I keep it moving, eyes on the next Luchini. It's never easy when you caught in the ill lifestyle. Niggas flipping wild to get paid for their wife and child. It's understandable when the system sees you as an animal. Gotta stack capital and raise up the level. Told son to run with that devil at his own peril. I'm in the cut like a rebel, planning the attack. Dealing with the pressure, son, ain't trying to catch a heart attack in this modern western habitat where the police target the black is mainly criminal. Afraid of the original, I spit dangerously lyrical shots through your dome to send your whole sucker team home. Release the stress, release the stress. Take it to the top side, don't settle for less. Release the stress, release the stress. Show us what you got, son, you one of the best. Release the stress, release the stress. Life is mad wild, that's why niggas smoke cess. Release the stress.
And only Lewis Parker in the studio.
Yes, indeed.
With
you
us.
Gotta release the stress, you know what I mean?
That's exactly what you just heard there, my beloveds. You know?
And so that's gonna be coming out on the 12-inch.
That's coming out on the 12-inch. You got the instrumentals.
Stay close to the mic so everyone can hear your
You got the
lovely
instrumentals,
voice.
You got the bonus beats, you know what I mean? I even let the drums go free. So for you beat heads who wanna steal up my drums, they even there free on the record, sitting there crispy.
But do you know what? Speaking of that, have you seen this nowadays, Lewis? How a lot you have a lot of producers where they make these packs of like download this drum kit.
I've been thinking about doing one or something like that. For a little minute, but
the thing
weighing up how I would go about it, because I do think at the same time it does go against the tradition of what we are meant as a hip hop producer. You are meant to be doing is going out and digging in the crates,
but not even just that. I think also there's nothing better. Nobody else can do Lewis Parker better than Lewis Parker.
Oh no!
And what I want to hear is
it's
Lewis
Parker.
This is what's wonderful about the world is we're all different, and I want to hear
if you want to get certain things. You
so
see how
why
I was.
Would you want to
I don't
sound
think
like
I don't.
Producer?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If that's what floats your boat and you want to get, you know, drum sounds that sound like Primo or Pete Rock or Just Blaze or whoever you takes your fancy, and you're buying a sample pack and it works for you, then it works for you. If you make dope sounding music off of the back of that, then, you know, more power to you, my brother.
Because
you know what I'm saying?
Or sister,
you know what I'm saying? I can't hate on someone's end product if the end product is fire. You know what I'm saying? I would not advise for you to sample off of the internet, such as YouTube and such like. But a lot of people do, and they make some good records with it. You know what I mean? So it's to me, it's the end product. You know what I mean?
All
the work that you put into it all matters, and you know, it's like playing a sport. You want to play right. You don't want to cheat. You don't want to. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if you win the game, you win the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to ask, though. Is it not the same as when you guys are sampling off an old record?
Well,
that's
it looks it's how you look at it, you know what I mean? But I go by the rules of hip hop, and the rules of hip hop to me was always about go and get the original record, you know what I mean? That's that we goes back to the Bronx, you know, and I just watching the Get Down, loving that, you know what I mean? And it's like you see, you know, they making this shit Hollywood now, what hip hop actually represented, and if you want to follow the arts of it and the culture, then you stick to the rules.
But
you know
it even
I mean?
Goes the hip hop quote unquote rules even go deeper than getting the original record, which of course that's an important part.
No, you're
but
not going to say they have to go and get the original fucking drum skin now.
Yeah, the original. You've got to go and get this Clyde Stubblefield.
You got to go and get him.
And the drumsticks, by the way.
And the same hair he used when he recorded Funky Drummer.
What was he
going to say? No, but even it goes beyond that, because a lot of the a fundamental rule of hip hop is you've got to be you and no biting allowed. And I'm not saying that if people are downloading drum packs that you're biting Primo or whatever,
I
just think it's about having an identity, and that was a core intrinsic part of hip hop's origins, is we have our identity. This is what I represent, and you have to come with you, and that's got to top what I'm doing if you want to come out the OG in
but
this.
I know how it is to be a young producer and not to have all the records and not to have the breaks and wondering, yo, I don't even know the names of the how am I going to... But saying that these days, the internet, you know, everyone uses the internet now. So, you know, your favorite producer uses the internet to research about artists he wants to sample. That's what we do now. So... There's not a problem with it, but to me, it's all about the source. And I come back down to, as people will know me as the man with the golden sound, I'm about trying to present the quality of music. And if you want to have your music presented at a high quality and sound good, a high fidelity,
that's
you know,
what I was
presentation
gonna say.
Of your recording, then you need to try to get the highest quality of that recording to present
the same way,
you know. I advise, you know, I hear a lot of cats these days coming out with unmixed records and stuff like that, and I advise get it mixed, go and find the producer, get it soloed out, you know, go to the studio, get it mixed, present the record in the best fashion you can present that record in.
And this is also partly why vinyl is having a resurgence at the moment, where you're seeing like millions more pieces of vinyl being sold each year.
Quality.
Camden Sainsbury's, they have vinyl on sale in there.
Uh-huh.
This is where we're at now.
Wow.
How popular.
In Camden Sainsbury's.
Camden Sainsbury's, they had vinyl on
sale.
What
type of vinyl they're selling there?
Yeah.
Serious.
CEO.
CEO just putting it out there into the let the abundance take that one. I'm sure it'll happen.
But no, I mean, because it's like the quality of sound that you get from vinyl, you cannot capture that on an MP3. You know, and
if you're
sampling from YouTube,
quality, it's still going to be a very compressed wave, and you're going to be losing a lot of information.
Exactly.
You're not going to be getting the bass response. You're not going to be getting the highs properly. You know. If you want the best quality and you're using it for the base of the sample from what you're going to make your actual record, you want that to start off with as high as possible, because the quality is already going to come down when you've sampled it, you've compressed it, EQ'd it. So, you know, the more headroom you can get on that sample, the better. And as a mix engineer, that's what I would recommend.
Because
you know what, I mean?
What do they say? You can't polish a turd, innit?
No, exactly. So, you can't polish a piece of...
I do know someone who can pour syrup on shit and make it taste like pancakes, though. But what
that's
I was going to ask you...
Yeah,
what I was
going to
ask you is... what was I going to ask you now? It was to do with vinyl. So do you think that now, because people are listening to music more on their computers, like through these little computer speakers and whatnot, and I'm not even known about the ones you plug in.
I think that makes the two-track era that we're in a lot more viable, and I think that's why people get away with it more and get away with street sounding albums and mixtape sounding records more than you would have been able to get past that shit in the golden days, where, you know, everything was coming out on 12s, everyone was listening to that shit on record or CD or cassette or a format like this on hi-fi systems at home, and you can hear the fidelity of the music a lot clearer. I think now when everyone's listening to it on phones, laptop speakers, you know, portable speakers, it does make things more acceptable to be a lower quality, because you're only hearing half of the sonic picture anyway, you know what I'm saying? So
but at the same time, then on but when you do hear it,
and exactly. I think it all makes a difference, because when you do hear it, when you someone has is playing it on the radio, when someone is playing it in the club, when someone has got a nice hi-fi system and you're trying to listen to the you know, all of
it's
these,
the
you're listening to it in the car.
When you
all
take the Beats things, by Dre's off and really hear it, you're like,
this ain't hitting as hard as,
and this is when then you have to realize, okay, there's a reason why certain things are timeless classics.
There's a reason why you hire Quincy Jones and that becomes the certified
bench.
And you're going to Battery Studios and you're spending your peas and, you know, I don't need to be going to these places. I don't need to be paying engineers no more, because they think, yeah, my man's got the little Logic set up on his laptop. He can handle
Fruity
the business. Yeah, he can handle
Fruity Loops.
Exactly.
He's got it. What do you think about these? Like, you can get like Dre's mixes of so and so.
Just put this plug in on top.
Yeah, and then it sounds like Dre mixed it or Timbaland mixed it.
That's not gonna work, brother. You know what I mean?
You've got to use your ears, man.
I might be impressed by some of these new plugins can do, and I have heard some plugins that are good. But for me, all of the plugins versus actual gear never sound as good. So that's why, you know, if you see what I put in my lab, that's why I still deal heavy with analog and real hardware.
Like they say with singers, the most successful singers in the world, it's straight away you recognize it. Straight away you know that's Prince. Straight away you recognize, you know, the voice.
Yeah.
Straight away I know when I know a Lewis Parker beat, straight away I recognize a Ben Grimm beat.
I think a lot of that has to do with what,
because you're not using the download of someone's drum kit.
You've got to use quality and look to present your music as quality, you know what I'm saying? So,
but Lewis, also you've worked with so many people in the UK and the States too, you know, and I think there's one artist in particular out here who a lot of people, like, I really remember it feeling like a moment when these records came out, but you were involved with the first time people got to hear Kalashnikov, Kalashnikov.
I introduced Kalashnikov onto the scene, as you'd say, with Dagger Mentality.
So how did that come about? How did you guys meet?
I first properly met Clash. I see him one time at a freestyle on the radio. And then he was really cool with A-Side. And I was used to hang with A-Side quite a lot. And I was around A-Side's. Clash was there. We were smoking, little freestyling, checking beats, whatever. I ended up being like, yo, Clash, man, you're nice. You got to come to the studio and lay site down. And it happened, we followed through, and he actually came through a week later or something. And I remember he come through, and this was crazy because he came and he was broke. The nigga had no money at all. And I remember, I think I bought some chicken. It was one of them ones, yeah.
He had the hunger in his bed.
We all were Jankros.
Yeah, you know, the proper Jankros.
In the paradise.
style paradise, paro life and all of that. So he was coming, and it was like that, you know, a little 10 drawers, I think we shared and all of that shit. And it was just a Bruck thing, and I remember I hooked that beat up in right there for him.
Dagger!
Like, yo, this is going to
be. That was like straight out the SP sound, that one, man.
That's actually a 900 on the drums.
Bam! Oh.
Stare back, slow DJ. Your roll.
Yeah. Let the producers do the producer talk.
That sounded mad crusty.
But you see, that's where the gold sound coming to it, because a lot of people have said that. A lot of people say. Stuff I did in the 90s, they think I done it on the SP.
Yeah, I don't even attempt to try and guess that shit, because I still don't get it.
that was actually the 900 and 950 in effect. It was a slightly different record, because I don't think I'd ever put out a record that I'd sampled a reggae joint, especially not at that point. I don't even know. I've got a couple of pieces, I like my reggae, so I have stashes.
So you did that? You sampled that there and then for him?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is how I'm feeling. Yeah, this is how I'm feeling for my G right here. Yeah, you know what I mean? I want that Caribbean, West Indian, UK feel on this record here, and I think it will be big. And no one had quite did it like that in recent years. You know what I mean? And he come out, And I think
you put him on the map with that one, man.
Yeah, because it was an eye opener. You know what I mean? Like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I think people were looking at him like the UK Nas and shit.
Yeah, definitely, man.
And you know, he went from strength to strength. I mean, it was for me and Kalashnikov, we were like this at one point.
Mm.
And certain things, you know, politics and all of that, it got messed up. When I was leaving for the States, it didn't go well with me and Clash.
Okay.
And I had about 7 tracks we'd recorded over time that he wanted to work towards an album.
Mm.
And I'm like, bro, at this point, I'm moving to the States. Things are going to be a little different for me.
Mm.
But I said to him, I'm still down to work and but he was so pissed with me that I was leaving that he didn't want to keep the connection, he didn't want to keep the friendship like that. So I left. I've spoken to him since then and we've worked out, we're cool now. But it was a shame because we should have kept on and I should have got them tracks out, you know what I mean? So
never too late. You know. And, you know, another little undersung gem, I think, because Dago Mentality was such a massive record when that dropped. I think the track Zero that you and Clash did, that kind of went a little bit under
It went under the radar. I think they're more sort of straightforward and I think Dago Mentality had a little bit more of a vibe to it. It had a little bit more of individuality, and I think the 012 was a little bit more standard, straightforward, boom bap hip hop. Even though it was dope, it was weird because I was actually meant to do Murder. I actually recorded the first version of Murder over a completely different beat. I had another beat.
Oh, you as well. That's the story with the original.
I'll show you how it happened. I recorded the original demo. One verse and hook.
Okay.
All right. Same verse, same hook. Kemet, Ez and Trev were meant to put it out. I had a falling out over the papes with Ez and Trev. It got a little bit
politics, didn't it?
Got a little bit hairy,
then I'm hearing
we're taking the Murder track to Harry. And then
as in Harry Love.
Yeah, as in Harry Love. And then I remember I think Harry even come over and played me, was with Clash, and he played me the original version with the lot darker one with the harder drums, right? And I was like, yeah, cool. But I had my backup because I was like, nah, I'm killing you with my version of this record, dogs. Like, my beat mad more fire. And I know he felt away because that's when he went back and he did the version that came out, and he did that after. So I think I put the fire up his back a little bit.
Good,
when he come
no,
over.
But that's healthy. You know what I mean? I think that's what we're meant to do, spur
but that's,
each other
yeah,
on.
That's how it was back then, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was
for real.
it was a competition. Even though it was unsaid competition, it was always competition, you know what I mean?
And that's who's the same thing with Large Professor says, like talking about the Illmatic project with, you know, how they were kicking each other up the butt between him,
who was
Primo,
get the production,
and Pete Rock,
who was the dopest,
you know, in that whole era. And that record, Murder, the produced by Harry Love, the Kalashnikov record. That's a certified UK classic.
It's a certified
too.
UK
but, you know,
classic.
And it became so massive, I think, that in many ways, a lot of people forgot about Dago.
That's his biggest record, without a doubt. Murder is his biggest record.
So, quickly, because we got to move on, but how did the Ghostface thing come about? You ended up on his, which album was it?
Fish Scale. And More Fish.
And More
now,
Fish, yeah.
This is very interesting. This is,
for those
going
who don't
back,
know,
we're going
he's
back
produced
to,
for Ghostface Killah.
We're going back to 2005.
Brush the shoulders off.
Right? 2005. I'm already in the States, but I'm back over here for a few months doing shows, seeing family, whatever.
Hmm.
I didn't know Ghost was going to be in town, and I wasn't even watching it. But at that point, I was shotting beats as much as I can. So I was always walking around with CDs, or had the laptop ready to burn CDs, you know what I mean, with beats. That's, you know, a lot of little things happen off of them, me just handing out beat CDs to people. Man Friday said, was like, yo, we got to go to Deal Real because Ghostface is having an in-store in Deal Real. I've gone down to Deal Real, and I thought I'm more cool with the guys in Deal Real, which I am, but they didn't. I said, yo, here's my BCD. Play this shit when Ghost gets here. And then
This is, can we just clarify? This is the second Bite Ink Deal Reel, not the first one.
Yeah,
because we would never do
the second one, right?
You know, no, the original
I'm like, mad cool with them. I'm mad cool with all them brothers. But I will tell you, I'm mad cool. I love them brothers.
Just like to
you know what I mean?
Just
Vincent is my
there,
is know, my dude for years. But they weren't like, yeah, Lou, we're gonna make sure Ghost hears these beats and get him to him. They were more like, yeah, okay. I think they were more interested in their boy, the Asian cat they got making beats.
Oh, Chew. Not Chew. I was gonna say Chew. Like they all, named, they're all.
You know who I'm talking same. About, yeah, though. Yeah, he's a good brother, and yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I know his off the head.
Eric Lau.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And Harry. And they were repping for your boy hard. So they the beat. When Ghost is on stage, the beat they played for him to rhyme over was Murder. Alright? That's the beat they played.
You must have your pistol.
And your boy Ghost was like, this is alright, yo. Where's the next beat?
Wow.
Alright? Wow. After that, Ghost has come off. Everyone is surrounding him. I'm like, yo, I just need the one, hit him with the BCD, and I'm out. I hit him with the BCD. Bong. Mm. There you are, my dude. Respect. I'm out.
Wow, so you did it like...
I don't do all the dick-sucking shit. I never do. All right? I hit him with the beat CD, and I bounced. I didn't think nothing of it, because the amount of dudes I hit with beat CDs in around that time, every time that's all I was doing in New York for a good few years was going to industry parties, whatever parties I could go to where cats wasn't trying to hit him with beat CDs.
Mm.
So giving Ghost a beat CD really wasn't... too much thing to me. I didn't think of it. A whole year went past. I'm actually in Barbados now with my mum walking down Bridgetown.
Yeah.
The celly goes off. Yo, is this Lewis Parker? I've been looking for you. I'm like, yeah, this is Mike, Ghostface manager. I got Ghost on the line right now. Ghost, come on. Yo, son, I love those beats. Yo, that soundtrack, L70 shit. Yo, he was going on like that. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
He was going on like that, like super hyped up. At that point, they told me they've already recorded to a good 5 joints. You know what I'm saying?
Serious?
I've got to get back to New York. I'm bugging out. All I was doing was bugging out. Like, yo, I got to get Ghost more beats. And he recorded, like, I would say around 7 joints, like one verse on certain thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then for a minute, I had a bunch of records on the Fishkill album. It was looking nice for me.
Wow.
I was smiling. Like, yeah.
And we were all smiling.
Then when it started to come to, we're wrapping the album up, we're getting the mixes done, I'm losing. Oh, you've lost. This isn't on there no more.
Mm.
Pete Rock's got another feature. Oh, Just Blaze has come in. Oh, you know. I was like, oh, shit. I'm losing out. Am I even going to make it?
So
there was
like
one point I thought I'm not even going to make it no more.
Shit.
I thought the other producers had come in and beaten me on Namesake more than even Fire, because I knew I was giving him Fire. I lost a few records due to sample clearance as well. A few of them didn't make it.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
That through, they couldn't get sample clearance and stuff like that. But Shaky Dog was the last record recorded for that project.
And wasn't that the second track on the album or something?
It was.
They
had a little talking
and
intro.
The
yeah, yeah.
Track.
And that was the intro beat. I remember hearing it going, oh, shit.
And if you missed our interview with Ghostface Killah a couple of weeks ago, definitely hit up foobarradio.com/hiphop and listen back to that. You just have to listen back to the interview, nurse. But, you know, I thought it was only correct that we played you something classic from Lewis Parker before. Make sure you keep it locked right here as well, because in a little moment we're gonna have Mark Griss, Tony D, and in the studio, that we're gonna be getting into some very nice rapping action. So we're looking forward to hearing
all
of that.
Yes, we got something
Shout
special
out
coming
to Red
up.
Red Bull in the place to be, also.
Yeah, them wangs, man. Hey, Red Bull, we need them wangs, man. You know what I'm saying? I heard Red Bull gave you wangs.
But before that, this is some UK certified for the wangs. Some certified UK classic golden sound business from our man Lewis Parker in the studio with us. This is Hip Hop on FUBAR.
I'm like Britney Spears, you get spearing in your head with the it's not a joke. Original front teeth, gold teeth, no brush teeth, skin teeth, kick out teeth, blood bleed. Yo, you read it. Excess amount of love go to the man called Lewis Parker. Dolo, see? Everything is fresh and nice, see? Yo, I'm live.
folk, let's like Fernando. I'm walking down dark roads with Darbarks and Jankos. Negroes with no cold like Double O. It's cold wind, blow like Satchamo. Offload like Macaro, still rapping back on road. Hold the zip code, my brain's overload like boats flooded with info. Maniacs running on road, shutting like Rambo. Running out of ammo, these times are paramedics. Radics getting juked with a still rusty ratchet. There's man cocking gadgets to pierce your puffer jacket. Disconnect the mainframe, my mind state is metric. Fake don't segregate, burst the barricades and escape out the cages. Hatred is contagious when contained in small spaces. Suffocate my pain, keep it contained within the pages. It's less dangerous, channel my chi into changes. It takes ages. That's eight stages of 36 chambers. Yeah, yeah. Protect your neck, you're next to Kim and next door neighbors. Come next year, I'm killing fascios for wages. Bareface, be faced with fear on a daily basis. Yeah. Slushes on my case for eradication, raid my Bill Gates. Ricochet Kalashnikov, rip through your rag and bone. Penetrate your steel plate. Yeah, yeah. Contemplate, we ain't got nothing to conversate. Snakes congregate while convicts plan the great escape. This world's full of hate, but I moderate my intake like karma. The saga continues to circulate like Circle 33. Arms out and don't accommodate. Spit cyanide, one double O. Concentrate. Yeah, cause that's Dago mentality. Killing fascists with salary. Salivating insanity. Ah. Dago mentality. Killing fascists with salary. Yeah. Salivating insanity. Since 9-5 merciless. You might have heard of us. My flex causes turbulence. I live amongst the murderers. It's murderous. Pull up a man trying to murder us. Maneuvering like burglars with infrared binoculars. The East Maze metropolis filled to the brim with metro police officers. Man popping man for popularity. Insanity, can it be? Things were all so simple back in 93. Now it's pure tragedy. These dagger days dragging me deeper into agony. Animated anarchy. My attitude is aggy. Man attacking like Apache. Coppers trying to catch me. Can't rap like Kabayashi. You move like a cockroach and your whole flex is fassy. Your pussy open, my flow's sharp. Cut your throat, spit killer quotes. Then I'm ghost on the outro. My eyes glow, glistening like nitro. Lock, stock and two smoking rifle. Kalashnikov, tear your fucking ear off like Van Gogh. Burst shots through your tank top. Stand firm like Mexican standoff. Standing on the standby, the standard procedure. The basic Amiga. Maintain my balance like Libra. Swift like Calibra. Injection, big up to my henchmen. Too many names to mention. I bench press stress, treading streets full of tension. What's your intention? What? To spread love or vengeance. Life's like a sentence. I'm trapped in the context of man-made laws. Keep a shetty by my doors, cause I live by the sword. Man get chopping their vocal cords. Man getting robbed for their mobile wards. Man overboard, man dying over broads. Man killing man for gyros on the high road, getting rushed more. Yeah, you know the score. Two twos and four fours under floorboards, ready for them frauds. Yeah, yeah, you know the score. Two twos and four fours under floorboards, ready for them frauds.
That, I think he's like he originated.
The original road man rapper from the UK.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Original
classical.
Putting it down for how the streets are.
There were people talking him like street talk before, but
nah. But when he come out, he made everyone step their their game up.
Exactly.
And niggas who want to be rhyming on some road fuck shit, he make niggas over here step their shit up.
He was believable. Do you know what I mean?
That was
a
what
lot
happened.
Of people didn't sound that believable when Clash came out.
When he clapped,
and I feel like the whole channel you know, YouTube, like he
murdered it.
A
when
bunch
murdered
of
come
rappers.
Out, yeah, it was. I mean, it was a problem.
Crazy,
it was
man.
A problem. You know,
but
what
even
I mean?
That Dago, I think before that, before murder, but murder definitely.
But when it was like the official. You know what I mean?
No,
but,
I think these are important landmarks, like in hip hop. We've been talking to our man Lewis Parker live in the studio here. What, Lewis? You have some shout outs before you jump
real
out of here?
Yeah, you know what I mean. I want to say, you know, keep your eyes to the new shit I'm got coming out. Working on the album right now. Just finished recording with my man Spice. You know what I mean? Who I know Spice. You know, brotherhood legendary, and I know you know him. He around
Spice.
Your corner. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you need to get him through the show because I'm having something drop on Spice, featuring Artifacts. They, you know, Spice had Artifacts held up in the crib for all the last week.
What are the links, Lewis? If people want to track you down or see what you're what you've got out, where should they be hitting up on the web?
KingUnderground.com, first place. You know what I mean? Find me on Facebook, Lewis. You know, / Lewis Parker. Instagram, Lewis Parker Jedi Master, you know what I mean? Twitter, Lewis Parker _ you know what I mean?
Basically, just Google
Lewis
Parker.
Just
lazy ass, my beloved.
You'll find it if you're interested.
King Underground. They've got a bunch of releases coming up. Fred Fades and Sun Ra featuring Planet Asia, 7-inch single. Is that two? Todd B?
Torb the Roach.
Torb the Roach coming up. Instrumental album. You've got Vital Pieces of Time LP and Sun Ra Beats. Beat Weeks LP, but go to kingunderground.com if you want to get more information.
Lewis,
mother lovers.
Thank you so much for coming through. Thank you very much.
Every day be some force, breaking down the variables, the simple ones are nought. Can't be taking shorts, cause life is never easy. Conniving people smiling in your face, but talking wee-wee behind closed doors. But you see, I'm not sleepy, so you're gonna get yours. Cause those yapping jaws are sneaky, looking for a freebie. But everything costs, thinking it's all for the love. Boy, you got those wires crushed. Yeah, what's going on, boss? I don't take a loss up in the chapel. Keep it moving with the crackle and tackle the subject. See, your game is suspect. Money can always cause upset, so you have to deal with the business and can't let it slide. Trying to take me for a ride, treating kindness like a weakness. But I'll cut you off sharp, cause I can't deal with leeches. Shit ain't cream and peaches, but I always hold a knee. So when you try to do me wrong, I've gotta take it to your face.
It's that incognito shit, hold it down all day, every day. Rock that shit, there ain't nothing else to say. Stay trapped, try to sleep, the whole situation's get EO. You know how we go, lay it incognito.
Another day in the rest, get the stress off the chest. Make a beat, spark the S, and I'll keep it motivated. Well in the past, and become bitter from the hatred. No longer sacred, so we have to bring it back. It's the straight up fact, which always seems to spin them out. Watch the bias win them out, cause that's what it's all about. Casting the doubt on a different point of view, I'm simply passing through. Keep the buds in the shoes, so you don't have a clue. Fuck the fuzz in blue, it ain't nothing new. It goes ancient like the Sphinx, yeah, we have to make the links ourselves. Jinx by wealth, everything else in life just seems to become secondary. Daily running's getting done what's necessary. It's all contemporary, modern styles like jazz. All these breaks up for grabs, but you know they own the copyright. I rock the vinyl properly, but obviously what this shit is like.
It's the incognito shit, hold it down all day, every day. Rock that shit, there ain't nothing else to say. Stay trapped, trying to seek those situations get heat, yo. You know how we go, all stuck up in this bitch, show laying in.
You're listening to the best of Sarah Love and Mike Stiggy on FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio, bitches and bitches. It's the hip hop show, and we are joined by another talented mother lover by the name of Flip Tricks. What's going on, bro?
Welcome.
Jeez, boy. High focus, yeah, aficionado, the man that started it all. Mm. I got to give you praise, bro, because obviously me coming from the low life era where everyone was like, oh man, oh, low life, things like that. What I'm seeing, what you're doing with High Focus is like, man, I wish that guy did half of the work that I see you putting in. Do you know what I mean? And the amount of material that you put out as well, in terms of artists from the UK as well as yourself, is really admirable as well, because it shows you're not, it's not just all about you.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Man,
like, you definitely put a lot of effort into the artists you're putting out. So let's give a shout out to obviously Dirty Dyke, Jam Backstar, Dead Players, Ocean Wisdom. You know, there's countless others in it I've missed out by.
4 hours.
What's obviously the 4 hours are doing really well as well. Like, what's it been like, man? The growth. How long did the label start? How long ago did the label start?
Started in like 2010, so it's coming up to the 7th birthday.
Wow.
That's going to be in April.
Yeah.
So yeah, going to put a big show on for that. And then yeah, it's been intense, man. Been and quite a lot of hard work and that. But
I heard that like what inspired you was someone said to you, you're never going to be able to make money from UK hip hop. Was it something like that?
Yeah, someone did say that once. Yeah, but but like, I don't know. It was kind of like when I was putting out my second album, Theory of Rhyme, in 2010. Mm. I was recording at Jest and Chemo spot. Mm. Around then, it was only really Y&R because Low Life was dying down, like Will didn't.
Well, we all got robbed. Let's just put it out there. You know what I mean?
But basically,
we can laugh about that shit now.
Yeah,
if I see him, I'll still give him the backhand slap. Don't let me
fuck around.
But like, there wasn't a platform after that. Do you know what I mean?
Nah.
And obviously, I looked up to all what you guys were doing and that, and I had a lot of friends around me who were sick MCs, and then that's how it was just born. It's been completely natural. I didn't even plan for it to be what it's turned into at the beginning, but it's just
that's how it happens, though. And the reason why that happens is because of dedication, because you love what you're doing, first of all.
Dedication's what you need. Yeah. If you want to be the best, if you want to be the best. Sorry.
You're saying it out loud, Sam. Allow it. Sorry.
Can you please do the remix? I couldn't help it. Look, I'm just happy to be alive, so I'm happy to sing.
No, you're not the only one.
Dedication.
And in terms of, like, so obviously, you didn't really think, like, oh, shit, this is going to turn into what it's turned into, you know, like, everybody looking at High Focus for this and that. But, like, how would you consider, in terms of, if someone now was trying to put out music, what would be the first advice you'd give them in terms of the industry and what to expect?
You just got to be prepared to put in a lot of time and effort, dedication, like you're saying. You know,
dedication.
That is literally, like, the main thing. Yeah. And obviously, you know, practice makes perfect. The amount of time you put into your music.
So you done did your 10,000 hours and that shit.
Way more.
And then, like, in terms of the music industry, as a label owner and putting out music, do you find that there is, like, a barrier for the style of music we do? Like, in
a
terms of
bit.
It being raw, underground, saying what you want to say, not necessarily the chorus being at the beginning, so radio play. Yeah. Like, you guys amaze me because everybody's like, oh, you need your radio tune, you know? And it's like, nah, the internet is the radio, the internet is the magazine. And I think you guys have really proved that, the amount of love on there.
And that's the thing, I think the barriers are also getting broken down and shit because of what's happening in grime and all that sort of stuff as well. I think that's helping just generally people from this country, accepting rappers from this country. Because, like, when I was younger growing up, everyone's favourite rappers were American, do you know what I mean? Like, at first. And then now I think people accept people from the UK rapping more. I think it's getting popular more, like, worldwide as well.
Yeah, especially Europe is... I didn't realise, until I started touring over there, I didn't realise how much people appreciate the accent and the attitude from the UK. And they almost they more or less love it more than America, because America just seems to be about sipping lean and...
Yeah,
like, there's not much revolution in there. There's not much, like, fuck you, we are the people, and we're smart. Do you know what I mean? It's more just like, yo, fuck you, and I'm dumb as shit. You know?
So would you say there is a political agenda that you, like, feel that goes along with the High Focus movement?
I think, like, I mean, obviously, I see High Focus like a brain. Every single person on there is different, and I wouldn't sign someone that was similar to someone else. So there's definitely people with conscious messages and, like, you know, political messages, but then there's people who are more, like, braggadocious and stuff. But I think you kind of need to have all of that in one, do you know what I mean? Because everyone is different at the end of the day.
So we're waiting for the MC Hammer of High Focus to come out now. But that's still him, but that's like the, you know, the dark.
I'm down.
The,
I can do it. I can feel the role for you.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is, it's what's beautiful about it is that you're making sure it's all quality material as well.
Yeah,
none
of
it is like filler.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so everyone has got their little, it might be smaller, it might be big, but there's a cult following involved. And I think that's what's important as well
about
putting out the material.
What do you think about then the stereotype that people have of, like, oh, UK underground hip hop and
dusty
kind of thing? Because then many people, they will make that whole opinion synonymous with High Focus.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real with you.
But I think, I don't know, maybe they just haven't listened to enough of it. Do you know what I mean? They're just uneducated. They're just like, do you know what I mean? They're just hating without even really
looking at it properly.
You know what I mean? Checking it out. There's like 20 artists on the roster now. We put like 50 releases or something, so
tell them
there's a wide variety of all sorts of stuff.
We had the same thing, man. People, you know, the Kung Fu era, there were people that thought it was only white people in the building, or they thought it was only underground, dusty. When they come and see how many chicks were there, how mixed it was,
you know what I mean?
Sarah playing Ludacris, Sarah playing Bashment, then people were like, bruh, this is all right, you know, this isn't the thing, is it's all. Like, I like the fact that grime is grime, hip-hop is hip-hop, rap is rap, but it's all under the same banner in terms of, like, quality, you know, music from people that, you know, might have suffered a bit more than the rest, you
black
know what
people?
I mean? And so we can appreciate it. Not necessarily just black
I'm
people.
I'm just being so lazy.
Because
Flip Tricks is white. So, no, but
Sarah just wanted to put that out there in case you...
I just like stirring up trouble.
Racist.
No, because that's the beauty of our scene in the UK is that I don't feel that we do have a racial division, and we never have, you know, because we're all in this together kind of thing, and that's the difference. It's about, it's more, there's a class divide that we have in the UK rather than a racial divide that you have in the States. And what were you going to say, Wise?
Let's talk about the album now.
Yeah, cool.
What number album is this?
Number six, man.
Number six. Number six since 2010.
27 was the first one.
2007?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 2007 was the first one.
But then High Focus was born in 2010.
So who did you put out the first one with?
It was just like my mate Impecamy recorded the album for me. He had his little thing called Renegade Artistry. So I just whapped that logo on the back of the CD. That was about as much as it really came to hustling outside shows.
I get it. I mean, that's how you start. A lot of these artists is just that's my mixtape. That's what they call mixtape on that piff.
You know what I mean?
And you were doing your own street teaming or whatever. So that makes sense. The album is coming out on the 25th of November. It's called Patterns of Escapism.
Yeah, man.
So what does that mean? What psychedelic drug did you take?
A couple.
I'm tripping off the album artwork already.
Like, in that title track, it's kind of like I wanted to explore like the different, you know, patterns of escapism. Everyone kind of wants to escape their own reality, and people do it in different forms, you know what I mean? Doesn't have to necessarily be like drinking or drug abuse, which is obviously the negative kind of sides of it. There's also like hip hop and art and whatever, meditation, whatever takes your fancy. And it's just kind of, that track was just exploring the sort of different forms of escapism, I guess.
What are your forms of escapism?
Art, writing, weed,
meditating. Flip Tricks was the one who introduced me to the vaporizer, by the way.
Vaporizer.
When we was on the Ramps and Backbones video shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, try it, bruv. I was like, ah. And he goes, yeah, trust me. And I remember what cracked me up. He said something about, what is it when your lungs get, I forgot what it was, but the
cancer.
Way he said it was mad road. He just said it like, but it made sense to me. I was like, yeah, you know what? He goes, yeah, because if you don't want to get any carcinogenics and shit. Like that, and I'm cracking up. Then I tried the vape. I was like, yo, this shit. And then from there, I was like, yo, I'll get vaporized, bro. Let me Google that shit.
Allegedly,
by the way. This is all.
Where are you from originally?
From Herne Hill, South London.
Yeah.
Bro.
And so who did you, hip-hop-wise, who did you grow up listening to? Like, who has influenced you, whether that's UK or US cats?
Like, the US dudes was like Big Pun, Biggie, Big L.
Anyone with Big in their name?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think.
Fugees as well was big inspiration. Like, the score of that album inspired me a lot.
That's a bad production.
And then,
man.
Like, Frantic Frank, like, back in the day.
Frantic Frank?
Yeah, bro. Because he was
Frank
down the road. Like, he lived down the road from me.
That's not Frank. What was his name?
Not Frank Ocean.
No. Turned into English Frank, isn't it?
Yeah, that is English Frank. I was like, is Frantic Frank English Frank?
Yeah,
or not?
He was. And it was the Craftsman. Do you ever remember the Craftsman? It's that Speaker's Corner lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, man. That's hilarious.
And then, obviously, like, Task Force, Skinny Man.
Yeah.
Jest.
The
golden era.
Dudes,
UK hip-hop golden era.
Yeah,
That's very nice.
So on this album, you got a bunch of features. Four Owls, Ocean Wisdom, King Kashmir. He's always changing his name, but I love Kashmir, man. You got Life MC, Verb T, Dabbler, Jazz T, DJ Sammy B-Side. Is it important for you to get, like, you know, the right features on the album? How do you...
Yeah, I think so, man. Like, a couple albums ago, I didn't even have any features on just that one album, but, like, on this one, I don't know, just wanted to get all my boys on it, or people that I've, you know, rate a lot and that.
Do you notice, do people go, well, if you go, I've got an album coming, they go, who's featuring? Is that the first thing they ask as well?
I guess sometimes,
Yeah, I always find that kind of weird. Like, bruv, it's my album. Like, I don't give a fuck about who else is on there.
Calm down.
Yeah. Ill-Informed produced the whole album.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Nice.
That's he's a thingy's little brother, no?
Yeah, Leaf Dog's younger brother. And he's got another brother, like Eric the Red. It's like all three of them just like make
super
beats
producers.
Or rap and...
that's crazy, man.
Family bands.
How did you meet up with like the rest of the crew for 4 hours? How did that come about?
Well, I met Verbs, like, he just saw me spitting at like an open mic in Wandsworth or something. So that's how I met Verbs, and then that's how I met Kashmir, and then I met Baxter just like randomly freestyling in some like forest rave in Brighton or something like that, and that's where I met Dyke, and then it all just kind of came together from there because Beaver was friends with Leaf. Like from down Glastonbury, Bristol ways. And then it all just kind of connected,
It's crazy, man. Yeah, it's
way cool, man. And right now you're going to spit something for us live in the studio, aren't you?
Yeah, for real.
So
what are you going to do? What are you going to do for us? What's the...
The title tune.
Oh,
live version.
Patterns of Escapism, produced by Ill-Informed.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, we'll let Will get his camera set up and everything because we want to make sure we film this as well.
And let's give a shout out to the 4 Owls. You know, the first UK group to... do an official track with DJ Premier. Not no just, remix. Not, yeah, let me just get no this beat. Up. Let me get a beat, Joel Ortiz was rapping on a rap on it. They did an official remix and worked hard at making sure they got the right beat from him, I heard.
Yeah, for real, for
that's,
real,
that's
man.
That's beautiful, man. Definitely. That's really good. So well, let's make sure you can hear your voice. You can hear your vocals.
Yes, we're good.
Cameras
so
rolling.
To do this. This is Foobar Radio. We're joined by Flip Tricks in the studio, about to perform a track for us live. This is Patterns of Escapism. Let's do it.
Jeez. Flip Tricks live, my beloveds. Patterns of Escapism, produced by Ill Informed. Out 25th of November, bitches and bitchettes. High focus.
Yo, one time. Yeah. I stay spitting cause I'm outspoken. I'm at the pub, outside in the rain smoking. Man's up on the inside, clocking, getting coking. It's been a long fucking day like the summer solstice. Everybody needs escapes if you haven't noticed. Couple shots down the neck, now the night's in motion. It's good vibes to the fist fight or war commotion. 24-7, 3-6, the office open. And the bookies making money when the junkie rolls in. Lots of heads are doing crime, mostly drugs the motive. And the feds are on the back, but will they catch the culprit? Fuck knows, who cares? I'm bunning suits to roaches. Enjoy your youth, when you're old you're gonna notice. It's the hoping for a role reversal. There's rumours in the mill, best hope they ain't concerning you. Shit is getting personal, like when the tumour's terminal. Go home to space. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damage in their health. Patterns reoccurring down the rabbit hole they fell. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damage in their health. Patterns reoccurring down the rabbit hole they fell. Escapism is something we all crave. Few each enlightenment must take it to the grave. Hunting for the knowledge and going through just a phase. Suffer fate just the way I like it's custom made. Higher sources got the lessons to relay best. Listen and obey, not be pissed off, depressed and grey. Every instant, every day, all you're manifesting is rain. When you really wanna go, I'm playing sunshine again. Let the rays through your fog infested brain. Eradicate the pain, find the reasons they explain. Why you're deeply in a rage, you're gonna need support like a broken bone with a metal plate. If hell is home, then homie, your soul needs to go and elevate. Beauty like when petals separate, revealing what's innate. Shatter your state like stones thrown at frozen lakes. Shown a glimpse of the place where your ghost awaits. Go home to space. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damage in their health. Patterns reoccurring down the rabbit hole they fell. They wanna escape the world. They wanna escape themselves. Left damage in their health. Patterns reoccurring down the rabbit hole they fell. Flip Tricks, Ill Informed, Patterns of Escapism, Foobar Radio.
Wow, amazing, man. That is the title track off the album Patterns of Escapism by Flip Tricks, all produced by Ill Informed, out on High Focus Records, 25th of November. You can pre-order from iTunes. You can get a CD and a limited edition vinyl if you go to the website. I'm sure it's High Focus, no?
High-focus.com.
High-focus.com, mother lovers. Gee. Bro, thank you for making sure that you know, the music you guys are putting out has soul in it.
Yeah,
it's not
real.
Just guys just rapping for the sake of rapping. People try and... I hear the talk like, oh, they just rap about drugs or they just rap about it. But it's like, if you actually listen to it, like listen to Dyke's last album, it wasn't all about drugs. It was actually about shit you could tell he really wanted to say. And, you know, I appreciate that, man.
And I have to say, I had such a good time at the High Focus party at Electric Ballroom.
You witnessed it now.
And I took someone down with me who had never been to a hip hop show before. And they were quite, so that was the kind of...
Did they get teary-eyed?
Oh, my God.
I think they got a bit scared, sorry. Yeah.
We got the launch party as well for the album. That's on the 10th of December.
Where's
at
that?
Brixton Jam.
Bro,
we've got Task
clashing,
Force Reunion as well, Chester P, Farmer G, Louis Slippers and that as well.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, man. 4 hours, Strange U, Dabbler.
Nice.
Wicked. So what else should people be looking out for? Like, share any like final links or where they should pick up the record?
What she means,
stuff?
Social networks. You
yeah, for real.
Networks,
I'm on all the social
that.
Networks, / Mr. Flip Tricks, MrFlipTrix, high-focus.com, and just... YouTube High Focus. Check the channel. We got loads on there, man.
Wonderful.
You got over 60 million views or something, it said? Where did I read that?
66 million.
66 million.
Jeez.
It's Flip Tricks. Where did the name? Are you a skateboarder?
No, I'm not actually, you know, but still.
Where did the name? How did you come with Flip Tricks then?
It hasn't got no real deep, like, thing to it, bro. I was literally just 16, made a track. I was like, got to think of a name.
Oh, nice. And I was
like, you're against the clock. Yeah. That's okay, good, that'll though. Do. Yeah, that's no, but though. Thank you so much for coming down. You need to come and visit us again and then keep us posted with all the good new Definitely. Music that you guys are sharing.
Yeah, tell some of your artists, don't be too big time. Like, bruv, we've had, you know.
Listen, from when people like Ghostface Munch, Killer, Pharoah Munch, DJ Newmont, Maceo, Adela Soul, Ski Beats, they all get Five Dog of a Tribe Quest. They got time tricks. To come and
when
share love with the
when
fans.
When your manager, the guy putting out your shit, even comes down, you better come down as well. So
you know that.
But thank you so much for coming through. Hang around for us for cool. a while we just get into this, because we're quickly running out of time. Go, Mice!
I was going to ask you, Clinton or Trump, who would you have voted for if you were American at the time?
Probably Clinton. I don't know, ain't much in it though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, why Clinton? So for the joke factor. He's cracking up while he's saying it, so I don't know if that's a serious answer, but I don't blame you, man, because it is a joke. Yeah. You got to choose from the devil or the devil's daughter.
But keep it locked right here with Fubar Radio. Myself, Sarah Love, and Mice Diggy taking care of you until 6.
You're listening to the best of Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on Fubar Radio.
Hey, man, I hope you lot enjoyed the show. Please make sure we do hear from you again next year right here on Fubar Radio. And from all of us, Merry Christmas, mother lovers. Oh yeah, and Happy New Year. How could I forget that?
Shit. Unity. Brother, sister, there's got to be unity. Yeah. Unity. Unity's what's missing. Dance every now and then. A little honesty and trust among us. A little love and harmony. And there'll surely be some unity. Unity.